Blog Talk Radio.
Kings and Morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings and Morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings and Morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Your favorite Blog Talk Radio show.
Some of the views and comments expressed on the J. King Network contain mature content and may be deemed as offensive in nature. However, they may not reflect the same views held by the network itself. So please, use discretion when tuning in.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jay King. Welcome to Kings in the Morning. With me are my co-hosts, One Love, One Love. You're lucky if you have just one love.
One love, One love. You're lucky if you have just one. Love yourself.
That's Yusef Kente, y'all. There ain't a problem he can't fix. He can fix it in the mix. Fix in the mix.
Every breath you take is a blessing. Don't believe me? Hold your breath for a day. All right, let's breathe. Happy Thursday to you. Welcome to Kings in the Morning. Good morning, America.
Good morning, Edith. Good morning, Valcine. He is taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. Johnny Beckman, Overdrive.
If you ever get annoyed, look at me, I'm self-employed. I love to work at nothing all day. Thank you.
Last breath, Levi.
I hope it ain't the day that I take my last breath, because I'm enjoying being here right now. So I'm going to enjoy the arguing, fighting, fussing, agreeing, and disagreeing. I love all of y'all. Have a good day.
Funky Jew Mandela.
Exist in a state of vainglorious, as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother, Sifi.
Brother Reverend Ali.
Don't you mute me. I know I don't believe it when you say that you can hear me. First you mute my line, then you change your mind. You better change it back or we will both be sorry. Don't you mute me, J. King. Don't you mute me, no. Don't you mute me, J. King. Don't you mute me, no.
Had a hard time getting to that note. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Willie Zinn. Good morning, Shirley's World. Edith was here. Now she's gone. So was JoJo. Now she's gone. But Valcine still standing strong. It's Kings in the Morning. Something funky must have happened over on Reese's show because I don't see Jam McNorton today. What happened, Mary?
I thought it was a great interview. I don't think anything happened. I mean, I don't think anything happened to warrant him not coming on today.
But what happened? I mean, did him and Reese have any words?
Jay, let me tell you what happened.
Of course.
Shut the fuck up!
Wow. I watched
no,
the
let
show.
Him tell me what.
Oh man!
Go ahead.
I watched the show. Very unbiased. Uh-oh, hold on. Dogs are coming. I gotta go on mute. Hold on.
See? You should listen to your first mind, Jay.
So evidently something, there was some kind of comment. Something must have happened for him to not come back here. We didn't do it.
Well,
to be honest, King, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I tuned in, and I don't see a reason why King Jim wouldn't be with us this morning. He did a great job yesterday. Even our brother King Reese did a great job yesterday. I was there for the whole time. And, yeah, I actually felt that King Reese didn't try to run him off. He didn't try to grip him up. There was a couple moments where, say, like, there may be a little bit like a interrupt thesaurusness or something like that, but they handled it. I feel that King Jam presented his book to the best of his ability, tried to answer questions. There were a couple tough Tonys, but he stuck with it. One time he thought to hang up, but when he realized that King Reese really wasn't against his book, he stayed. And they talked over the 40-minute slot that they had agreed to. So I hope he's all right, but I don't see why he wouldn't be here this morning.
Of course, your writing integrity is questionable.
Drink of water.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm back. John Beckman. John Beckman, John Beckman, what was your take on it?
Yeah, unfortunately, old Jam didn't heed your advice and keep his cool on occasion. Mm-hmm. So that was perhaps his downfall a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You're a negative teacher.
No, he's telling the truth. Women tend to always want a baby talk shit, and men deal with the reality. So I'm talking to the man right now because I heard your baby shit already. So Beckman, so he almost hung up, because nobody said he almost hung up a few times. Well, he said, he lost his cool, but he gained his composure. Tell me the real shit that happened, Beckman.
Yeah, it was cantankerous. Not on Reese's part. Reese never raised his voice. Reese never lost his,
God.
Right.
I'm just telling the truth.
So
you don't
Reese,
like the truth, that's your problem.
Man, you said downfall. God damn it.
Because he's telling
his downfall.
Nigga, you sticking. How come Reese didn't have no downfall? You sticking with the white dude.
Let me tell you what Reese did. Reese listened. Jam didn't. Now, the reason why I know Reese listened is because if it got cantankerous, if Jam got cantankerous, then Reese won. And I told Jam, don't argue with Reese.
Now you going with
Reese
the white man.
No, I'm going with what happened. Reese listened to the advice, and Reese saw what happened when him and Jam got into it here. So Reese just changed his approach. Same bullshit, different approach. And you got to respect
it.
Jam is here. So Jam is here. Jam, we weren't going to read the book. We thought you got, I didn't know what happened yesterday. I thought you might have got blew out.
No, it was a technical thing on my phone right now. Good morning, everybody.
Okay.
I apologize. I just had to call customer service.
That's a typical black answer.
Now you would get me.
No, I like
Jam.
Jam,
how was
I
your
like
time?
You, brother. Wait a minute. Whoa, Jam. They was cutting you up, man.
It's okay.
They gave you points. They gave your antagonistic interview, I'm sure, that Reese put on display. You know,
John Beckman said Reese was cool.
Here he is.
So, Jam, what happened? What made you lose your cool sometimes? What was it about the interview?
Oh, my God.
Actually, I thought it was a great interview.
Jam.
And I'm very grateful to Reese. And I'm grateful to you for allowing me to meet Reese. And I'm grateful to both of you for giving me an opportunity. I thought it was pretty good. Of course, I still have to be tempered. And I'm still learning. But I thought it was pretty good.
The white man said you had a downfall.
So he said, did you almost hang up a few times?
I'm a psychologist, sir. No. I said I was.
Good morning, Edith. Okay,
let me say this to you, sir.
You were a psychologist on this show a few motherfucking days ago when you hung up. So you being a psychologist don't mean you won't hang up. You already proved that.
I said I'm still learning, sir.
So I don't know. I know, but I asked you, did you almost hang up? And you said,
I was not
going
to hang up.
Sir,
I did that to get him to back down, honestly, this time. Last time, I hung up because I got in my feelings, and I apologize.
So when you say I'm a psychologist, sir, you don't that doesn't disqualify you from hanging up. When I know that you were, if you were a psychologist when you were on his show, that means you've been a psychologist this whole time, unless you just got your psychologist degree.
I don't even
show.
Have a degree. I'm a street psychologist, and yes, you are right. I'm a human, and I don't know. I'd rather listen to your feedback as far as yesterday. I'd rather just listen.
Reese on the radio just called in. Reese,
Jam.
How you doing?
Oh, my God, Jam.
Hey.
Hey, Reese. How was the interview yesterday?
It went about as well as I would have expected, to be honest with you.
Oh, my God.
Man, fuck you, nigga.
If I could clarify something, I didn't take anybody's advice, and that isn't to slight anybody who gave me.
Look at all these motherfucking Scrabble words. Cantankerous,
I
clarify.
First of all,
you motherfuckers want to get points playing Scrabble.
Why do Yousef and Ali lash out at the white men when they speak?
Why
I don't understand
don't
it. Go ahead.
And Ali
go ahead,
out at you white man.
Well, I wanted to say,
just
Jake
so that you know, John Beckman,
mm-hmm.
Reese isn't white. So they're not national.
Anyway,
so
I wanted to say that I didn't take anybody's advice, as it were. That isn't to slight anybody who sought to give me advice. I have an interview style.
Reese, if you have an interview style,
it's right here. It's right here when you're talking. This is your interview.
Actually,
if you were anything other than that, that's not your interview.
Did you hear the interview, Jay? Did you hear the interview by any chance?
No, I did not. I heard you were But I've heard you interview over here. I've heard you conduct
interviews. Okay, so over here. I understand. Over here is a little different than what I do on my show, but I get what you're saying.
Jay is already on the white man side of me, so you got three points already.
So if I could, so I just want to say, my intention for Jay, as I said here on the show, what I said on the show yesterday was that the objective was for Jam to tell his story and for Jam and I to have an interview based upon what he wrote in his book, not what I thought he wrote in his book, what he wrote in his book. Jam, and everybody here who listened to the show, I think Lee Fletcher was listening to the show, can attest, and they know I'm not telling any tales out of school. My objective for Jam was to get people who don't agree with the sentiment in his book to read it anyway, that it's important, that it's relevant, that you read his book anyway, that to get an understanding of what people think or how people feel when it relates to racism, we can't discount people out of hand. And that's why I brought him on the show, was that even though I don't agree with him, I need to talk with him, and I need to get an understanding of why he feels the way he does. And that's what we did. Now, he didn't like being challenged.
Good.
I get that. Nobody did. He got very animated at times, and I was very patient with him until he got a little unruly, and then I had to set the stage to listen. We're not having an exchange right now. You're just shouting over me, and you're trying to be a bully on the mic, and it's unnecessary. But he calmed down, and we got through it. We were on air.
You hear that, Jam?
For an hour and a half.
Over there, Jam. He's called
Reese.
Jam,
listen to me.
If you're doing
this because you're jealous, give it a minute, and then you can say everything you want after I finish speaking. You like not
jealous.
Being interrupted?
Can I just give you a visual?
No, motherfucking, you are out the conversation, man.
Just
ain't nobody talking to you.
Before Reese continues, hold on, Reese. Let me give Jay and everybody a visual of what happened momentarily.
It's a bitch.
You guys remember when Geraldo had his talk show?
No.
And then he got in that one episode where the racist guy and the black guy. They were throwing chairs at each other.
Why are you going to Geraldo? Stay at Reese and Jam, man. God damn.
I'm just giving a visual of how cantankerous they've got a little bit.
it ain't
blurry. But John, John, we already know. We've already been through that. We don't need a description of it. I need you and Reese to finish so we can.
Yeah. So anyway, so Jam has never been. This is his first book. He's never been on the interview circuit. This was a very good test for him, to learn in the future if he gets another opportunity, that it's important that he not get emotional, that he doesn't get emotional.
Teacher,
that he doesn't
leave us
emotional.
Kids alone. Leave
that
us kids alone, teacher.
So
get
that he doesn't get emotional.
Here,
that he doesn't get emotional
alone.
When someone's asking him a hard question about his book.
Motherfucker, it's hard about your question.
If I may, J. King, this is a personal epitome.
No, you may not.
Jam. This is a personal epitome for Jam, and this is very personal to him. And I understood that, and I tried to get that out of him because he was expressing that when he was getting very hyper, defensive. But, again, it's still a good book for those who wish to engage in somebody they disagree with. That's all.
That's some bullshit. Man, that's some fucked up shit to say, Reese.
Okay, explain why it's fucked up to say.
Because you're trying to sound like you a super motherfucking interviewer and you the motherfucking god of what people are supposed to sound or say like. And you ain't.
Okay, so I'm not. Leave it at
where
that.
There's never been a host or anybody like that. You sitting up there critiquing this shit, downing this shit, talking about, oh, it's good to buy a book you don't agree with. I'm telling you to go buy it. Man, fuck you, Reese.
I'm giving away, thanks to Jeff Aroni, we're giving away 5 copies on WTIC and on my podcast.
That don't mean shit. That don't mean nothing.
Okay.
Nigga, you white motherfuckers always trying to talk about what you doing and what you done paid for and what you supported.
Okay.
Nigga, why don't you let the motherfucker that you supported say something about your support?
Okay.
That means something to Jam.
Again,
there's 5
not,
sales right there.
It doesn't hurt my feelings that you disagree with me, Ali. You're right to your opinion. Doesn't change anything, though. North is still north.
Motherfucker.
Nigga, you ain't shit, Reese, and neither is that white
right.
cousin of yours.
You're right, Ali. Ali, you're right. I ain't shit. You prove it every day. You let this audience know I ain't shit. I get it.
Well, you let the audience know that
you have no proof. Nigga, I ain't shit.
Right.
You
okay,
prove
so
it.
I prove to the audience
Reese,
that I ain't
morning,
shit.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Okay.
You
Reese,
prove to the audience that
Jennifer
you have
Reese
no business said. Why would
Reese,
you? Why would you
Jennifer
write down
Reese,
a book that you invested money in, Reese?
Reese, Janet Marie said, I was very impressed with the way you buttoned up your show yesterday, Reese. It was a passionate exchange at times, but you maintained full control of the reins. Gentle, well done, Reese.
Thank you, Janet. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
Janet
you're a real gentleman. You're a gentleman. Very gentle.
I'm so glad. Listen to me. Right now, I am such a proud father. You want to know why I'm a proud father?
I didn't ask.
Because I birthed all this hatred.
Is it
I
because
taught
you're
you how
Catholic?
To hate.
It could be.
I taught you.
Are you Catholic?
I taught you all how to hate. And I am watching
nigga,
my little.
Nobody,
I'm watching,
you ain't talking
I'm watching
nobody, my, motherfucker.
I'm watching my little offspring
scream and holler. You can't teach your from
scream
this
and
way.
Holler at their lord and master.
You sorry ass nigga.
God
you teach
hater.
Your own motherfucking bullshit to
you
yourself.
Screaming and hollering at your master, Darth Hater.
Nigga, you the
expressing
bitch.
Expressing your jealousy. Listen, both of you can pull up your panties because your hatred is showing.
Whoa, cowboy. Anything you say here, I speak for myself. Don't nobody speak
okay,
for me.
If you promote,
I say it very
clearly for
what the fuck I got to say about you. It's very clear.
Pull up your panties.
It has no Ali on it. It's you.
That's okay. I'm talking about you. Listen, I taught you how to
no,
hate
you're
too,
talking
nigga,
about two people.
You were a peace-loving
you
pothead when I got here.
You were talking about two people.
You remember? You were a peace-loving
no,
pothead
remember.
When I got here.
I remember
now you're
you
a hater.
Bringing up two people.
Because I was able to inject you with hate. Both
no,
of you got,
you
both of you have HIV.
Two people.
Hate,
you
hate in vain.
Two people.
You have HIV. Both of you have full-blown hate. You have hate in your vein. That's HIV.
Well, we didn't get it from you, so we definitely didn't get it from you.
Like a vampire, I bit you, and now you are
you
like
ain't
me.
You ain't gave me shit, you bitch-ass motherfucker. South Central gave it to me.
Yes, that's okay. South Central didn't give you the hate that I taught you, baby. I made you the hater that you are.
Motherfucker,
you know
when I bring your bitch-ass back down here.
Reese, you know what
I'm
going to
be down there soon, homie. I'm going to be there in November.
Is reading your history. Reading about your bitch-ass mother, motherfucker.
Okay, Ali is.
Mother
okay.
America. Yeah, that's your mama. And you
yes,
a son
yes,
of
America
a bitch.
Is my mother.
You
mother
trick
is my mother country.
Slut. That's
yes,
what
it's
you
my mother
are.
Country.
That's what
yes,
you
my
are.
My mother country. You
yeah,
ain't heard
no,
nobody
yeah, that's your
home,
mama.
Right?
That's your
listen,
mama.
Remember. Listen
and
to
your
me.
Mama's a bitch.
Listen.
And you
listen
tell her
me.
I said that.
It's a bitch. Listen to me. It's a bitch slap from a gnat. It's insignificant.
Well, just repeat it to her. That's all
that's
I got
okay,
to
baby.
Say.
It's okay. I understand you hate the country that you live in, but your ass can't leave. How else would you survive?
This ain't no country,
well,
motherfucker.
Let me explain
well,
to you.
Reese,
let me explain something
Reese,
to you
you're
that
the
you
one
can never
who wrote
ever muster.
You the
let
one
me explain
who wrote
to you
the book
what
for
you
us
can
to
never
lead
understand.
Why
you
would
are
you
so
write such
angry.
A joke book?
You are so angry at the country you live in. Because you can't
this ain't the
leave
country,
it.
This ain't the country, nigga.
Your own citizens were angry on January the 6th.
You're just like,
your
you're
own
like a
children
child.
Was ready to take down the country at the
you're
citadel
a child.
Of freedom. The you're citadel of freedom was about
you
to be taken
a,
over by a bunch
a
of
dude.
White children.
Let me explain something to
the
you. At least we had the fucking guts. At least we had the guts to stand up to our government. What
of
if you had the guts
G7
to do?
Children. Was
hey,
about to take
yourself.
Over their own
yourself.
House. It's just
yourself.
Like you, non-promoting
at
a book.
At least they had
the
guts.
You're really upset at the
G7. You brag so much about spending money, yet today
yourself.
You down the very thing you spent money on.
Yourself.
You are
yourself.
Dumb. You're a
at
dumb
least,
dumb. You're a sucker.
Where are the where's the black
you're
revolutionary challenging their government? Where are you
fuck,
at?
I don't challenge. The motherfucking government challenged
that's right.
me.
You don't
the,
challenge
the government,
government
challenged
at all.
Me.
Because the truth
yeah, they
is that all
the
of you are a bunch of cowards. You are cowards.
Well,
you would never show up
what?
At the Capitol building
you,
because you're
well,
afraid
you, you
to
call
believe.
A woman a
just
king.
Like, just like the
no,
black
just
revolutionary
not like
said.
That. It's just
everybody
not like
says
that.
They want a revolution, but they're afraid to bleed. And my friend, you are afraid to bleed.
Nigga, we already bleed, motherfucker.
Yeah, dude, you took your lumps. I see you took your lumps.
Reese, one thing about a revolution, Reese, it ain't about blood.
You'll never be a part of
breath.
It. You'll
it's
never be a part
breath.
Of it. You'll be
as
microwaving
long,
popcorn
long,
and watching it on
long
television.
As I have the breath of life. And
you'll
you
be watching
exist,
it on television.
I will always have something
remember
to
that.
Say.
As long as you have breath in your
it
lungs,
ain't about the
you
blood.
Will watch the revolution
it's
on
about
television.
The breath. One day,
make sure you
America
get that right,
will
my
not
friend.
Be breathing.
And
who, for
who
you,
believes
for
that,
you,
who here believes
for you
that you're
to,
a revolutionary?
To preach your, first of all, you gave country, you gave Israel to a people for what reason?
I gave
what?
What
makes you off to give yourself America?
Oh, Jay, please, are you going to the bathroom or something? This is so boring.
Why do you
need
Jay?
I'm sorry,
you
guys. I was doing
you don't have
work.
To be sorry for this, man. Don't be
work.
Sorry for this. This is live
I'm
and
sorry.
Direct.
I forgot.
God,
this is live and direct, man. Why are you going to be sorry? This is energy.
So,
this is some Bluetooth shit.
Today is Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. Reese, Yusuf Kente, are you doing the word of the day? Good morning, legally in order. Are you doing the word
well,
of the day?
Is the game Scrabble? It won't be a Scrabble word.
Well, do you want to do the word of the day? Or Ali, do you want to do the word of the day? Or Reese, do you want to do the word of the day?
Man, don't get Reese in our shit. How you going to you passing off our job, Jay? What kind of shit is that?
Good morning, Jeff.
Yeah, because
listen, Reese.
Because
does,
he wanted to hire somebody to
get
a job.
If you don't want to do the word of the day,
you passed off our job before.
Hey, wait a minute.
No, I did not. You passed
it. Wait a minute. Whoa, Ali, that's where you be fucking up. This is not a job, man. Don't be describing none of this shit as a job. Come on, man. You better have a late. Well, see, now you reciting Keone, man. What did you say? Say what you got to say, man. Be yourself. Or be Ali, because I'm yourself. You can't be me, man. I got
so
my own DNA.
Who's
going to
do the word
DNA
of the day?
Jay, I'll do the word of the day. You never gave me a chance to answer. You gave choices to other
people.
Well,
I did. You just...
Well, Jay, you know how I answer questions, man.
Well, but you take too long.
All right. Did I make it the 11th hour?
Today on Thursday, September 22nd, 2022, the daily word is faith, F-A-I-T-H. With faith, I step into my bright, brilliant future. My faith empowers me to face all circumstances with hope and positive expectation. In tougher times when I am not able to see my way forward, I rely on faith. I release the need to control details and timing and trust I am divinely guided. Just as I have faith, the sun will rise each morning. I have faith in the power and presence of God. This is the same power that is always flowing through me. I do not need to know my entire path. In faith and with confidence, I leave the comfortable and familiar and step boldly into the unknown. With each fresh step, I live the truth of my faith in God and in my own ever-expanding potential. Today's Bible verse is Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Mm-hmm.
Youssef Kente, what is the word of the day? Youssef Kente, what's the word of the day?
It sounds like
the
it's
word
silent.
Of the day. There you go, Ali. Strike one. The word of the day, King, is shackled. S. H-A-Q-C-K-L-E-D, shackled. Shackled means chain in the brain. Let me get that shit. Jam.
Yeah.
To be a king, you must not be shackled. And when you release those shackles, you'll be a king. Shackled.
Okay, Jam, just to let you know, shackles is spelled S-H-A-C.
Yeah, can somebody give us a spell check?
K-L-E-S.
See this? I told you this ain't no Scrabble game here. It's our game, man. You laugh at this shit, man.
Lord have mercy.
Y'all laugh at this shit, man.
I got the meaning, my brother.
Got you. That's some symbols that got them fucked up, believing in them silent letters and shit. Some silent letters.
Oh my God!
You know why they use silent letters? Yes, it is. Go ahead, Shaq. Hey, check this out. You know why they use silent letters, man? Because if you skip class, they know you didn't get the lesson for the day. Yeah, it is.
And Shaq is Shaquille. That spelling is just a spelling that made up for
Babylon. He said it the Babylon way, Jay.
This shit's getting funny.
Ali just got it. Shackles. That is hilarious.
That is hilarious.
Oh, man, I like it.
I think he's confusing it with what Shaquille O'Neal does with you if you try to drive the paint. He shackles you.
No, it's just what I said. You're shackled right now, though. You're calcified. Your pineal gland is blurred, and you're
blind. Morning, Dale Burney. Dale Burney, you just missed the spelling of shackles and its definition. S H A Q C K L E S. Shackles.
Dale's my mentor. What are you talking about? I like that shit.
That must be the only word ever spelled.
Put that on
Dale
without a U behind a Q.
That was something that you did on your own.
Beckman, you have nothing to do with this. Believe it. You wasn't even there.
I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant.
Joe Biden told me we'd all put you back in shackles. Good morning. When he said that.
No, you're just not in this conversation. You never would be. You would have to be invited, and I'm the host.
Yeah, but aren't you still impressed that I got the Earth, Wind, and Fire Day yesterday?
No, you needed help from my compadre. You didn't know why. You just put it out there. You guess.
I told AK that last night. He didn't even know. He was very impressed.
Well, because you found out how impressive it is when you said it on this show.
One black dude that's cool with you, you want to mention his name. Nigga, fuck you, John.
You needed him to let you
South
go to
Central
there. Why
two,
did you say
Ollie,
there?
And I don't see
why
him,
didn't
you're
you
good morning,
there. You didn't know what you said.
Why? You know,
why not,
this
Jay?
Show, I'm going to tell you what we used to do on this show. On this show,
this
we used to
normal,
have interesting
Jay.
Facts. Huh?
This is the new normal. Remember, they told you it's going to be a new normal. Motherfuckers got to get in the frequency,
man. I don't care what they say. I'm talking about on this show. We used to have
Jay, did you
famous...
wear a mask? Did you wear a mask, Jay? If you did, you care about what they say.
No. If I wore a mask,
yeah,
I followed the rules. Because I followed the rules. So caring
on this show,
people say,
used to learn how to spell.
Shut the fuck up, W-I-T.
Okay, we're going to go.
That don't mean shit, John.
I'm glad.
You know, we know what if a person if we know what a person means, fuck the little details. It doesn't matter. That's all bullshit.
That's
actually
right,
kind
dude.
Of white
that's
shit.
Why, that's
Amen.
Why that's use a white
Amen.
People. See, white people we don't hate. We hate white boys, white dudes, and white folks and white men.
I'm not a
white.
I didn't
people.
Understand what he
Thank
meant.
Thank you.
I don't
hate nobody.
All,
I love
man.
Everybody.
Well,
chapter
six. I see you got to. You trying to promote your book, making a hotel.
I don't hate nobody.
Chapter six.
If I ain't wrote no book.
Of hate chapter six of Hate Without a Cause is called Hate and Division, America's Destructive Path. United we stand, divided we fall. John Dickinson, The Liberty Song. First published on July 7, 1768, in the Pennsylvania Journal and Pennsylvania Gazette newspapers. In earlier chapters, a very important issue was addressed, the hate for blacks by racist whites. It's sad to say that America's problems are much bigger than the racial divide between these two groups. And I believe that there are two words that are paramount causes for many of America's social inequities. These social inequities include, but are not limited to, race relations, education, jobs, pay inequities for race and gender, housing, and many more. The two words I'm speaking of are hate and division. I believe that if hate and division are not addressed with more than just a conversation, they could very well become the road to destruction for American democracy as we know it today. Politics and lies equals hate gone wild. Let's be clear. I said hate and division, not hate and diversity. Diversity is great. It gives us choices. Division is, divisive. I'm not speaking of division as a military unit capable of standing on its own to complete missions for our country. No, I'm speaking of the division that comes from the root word divide. Division means to separate the whole, and usually means that the separate sides have different views and typically, as with Democrats and Republicans, rarely come to a shared or bipartisan agreement. The division in America is much bigger than the racial divide. But I believe racism, along with politics, are two of the most persuasive templates or models of the division problem in America. In case anyone has doubts about how powerful and persuasive words can be, especially untrue, baseless lies, I hope that the events that occurred at our nation's capital on January 6th, 2021, where Reese was in the safest place for a black man, a Trump rally, as well as the events that preceded what happened at the Capitol that day, will bring clarity to the eyes and ears of everyone regarding the power that persuasive lies can actually have over a group of people. January 6, 2021, the following is simply a summation of the events that occurred on that day. Normally, a political day such as January 6, 2021, would not draw any major attention. I mean, after all, the 2020 election was over, and January 6, 2021 was simply chosen as a day to confirm the voting choices of the Electoral College, our protocol for selecting our nation's leader, the President of the United States, for the next four-year term. Mm-hmm. It's called a democracy, remember? For whatever reason, protocol or not, simple just wasn't in the cards on this day as far as America's democratic electoral process was concerned. According to reports by all of the major newspapers and news networks, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, ABC, NBC, and CBS, just to name a few, Congress was to convene in a joint session at approximately 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Capitol Hill to certify President-elect Joe Biden as the 46th President of the United States of America. Unbeknownst to our congressional leaders, there was a collaborative storm brewing outside, comprised of political deception and far-right-wing racist hate, the strength of which was almost unimaginable. Apparently, President Trump, in the last days of his term, refused to accept the results of the 2020 presidential election, results that mandated President Trump be replaced by President-elect Biden. As a matter of fact, according to Wikipedia, after the election, the Trump campaign, along with other groups in support of Mr. Trump, filed over 60 lawsuits in hopes of overturning the results. The suits range from contesting election process to vote counting, as well as the vote certification process in multiple states. Most suits were dismissed for lack of evidence. The court said the lawsuits were frivolous and without merit. Mr. Trump refused to concede, asserting widespread voter fraud in public statements, but the assertions were rarely made in actual court proceedings. On January 6, 2021, the defiance to the Electoral College voting certification proceedings on Capitol Hill, President Trump held a Save America rally on the south side of the White House. President Trump started his speech around noon. He had thousands of supporters at his rally and hundreds of supporters gathering on the west side of the Capitol. The president started his speech in pure, uncensored Trump style, pushing his false narrative of how he was robbed by the far-left Democrats in the fake news media, claiming that they had help from weak Republicans. The speech ran for a little more than an hour, according to a Wall Street Journal video. I have listed some of the quotes of President Trump from his January 6th speech that I believe were not only false assertions, but the most inflammatory statements of his speech. These are not in chronological order, all from the Wall Street Journal. They rigged an election like they've never rigged it before. We will never give up. We will never concede. It'll never happen. You don't concede when there's a theft involved. All of us here today
do not want to see our election victory stolen by bold and radical left Democrats, which is, by the way, what they're doing. I've been in two elections. I won both of them. The second I won much bigger than the first. We will stop the steal. It's a pure theft in American history. Our election was so corrupt. You will never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength. You have to be strong. Today I will lay out some of the evidence that proves that we won this election and we won it by landslide. After this, we're going to walk downtown. I'll be with you. We're going to talk down. We're going to walk down to the Capitol. In all fairness to Mr. Trump, I really don't believe I sound like him. In all fairness to Mr. Trump, I really don't believe that he understood just how powerful and dangerous his statements were. I also don't believe that Mr. Trump had any knowledge beforehand of the events that transpired during and following his speech on January 6, 2021. The events to which I am referring happened on Capitol Hill while Congress was in session to validate the 2020 presidential election via the Electoral College system. Around 1 p.m. on January 6, 2021, just as Congress started the electoral vote validation joint session, a group of Trump supporters turned mob, breached the Southwest Capitol security barricades. Close to 2 p.m., hundreds of Trump supporters attempted to breach the Capitol East Side barricades, and for whatever reason, the officers moved the barricades themselves. There were Trump supporters battling overwhelmed and outnumbered Capitol police officers. One officer was hit over the head with a fire extinguisher and sprayed with bear repellent. That officer would later die due to his injuries. Around 2:15 p.m., the Trump mob actually breached Capitol doors. I couldn't believe my eyes. Citizens of America were in the Capitol building breaking things, windows, furniture, etc., going into congressional offices, sitting at desks, stealing things right outside of chambers where Congress was convening. At around 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Capitol Police stopped the meeting and informed Vice President Pence and Congress about the mob and the dangerous situation at hand. The Capitol Police then began to evacuation of the chamber in order to ensure the safety of the Vice President and members of Congress. Unfortunately, the officers were only able to evacuate the VP along with about half of the members of Congress successfully before the mob reached the chamber. The rest of the members were left stuck and scared. The remaining lawmakers in the chamber would endure the torment and anxiety from the uncertainty of their safety until around approximately 5:30 p.m. when the sergeant-at-arms finally announced the all-clear message. Wow. Now to me, January 6, 2021 was not just a bad day in American history. Hopefully the horrific events that occurred at our nation's capital will somehow serve as an eye-opener for America. I believe that the attempted assault on our lawmakers, piloted by deceptive words from a disgruntled politician, although reprehensible, truly has the potential of becoming a much-needed beacon of light in this tumultuous sea of social unrest from which America is on the verge of drowning. I hope that the events of January 6, 2021, as a capital will allow all Americans to see how fragile the psychological fiber of our society is. That day will solidify the importance of each and every American's understanding of the true value of our democracy, how our leaders have a sworn duty to honor our democracy, and that our sworn leaders must demonstrate honor for America's democracy, respecting and adhering to our democratic process, as well as respecting the tools used to facilitate it. Ooh. Now, only one of us were there firsthand to see what happened.
He was named in the day after, too. And he got footage.
That's why he disagreed. That's why he disagreed with the book and shit, because of that part, that chapter right there.
Actually, no. Actually, it's interesting because there's a lot I could have taken from this chapter. But that would have been a 2.5-hour conversation with Jim McNorton. Jim, are you there?
I'm here.
Still here?
Okay, Jim.
Don't stay
the
here.
Paragraph,
your interview was yesterday, nigga. Don't come out
you say.
No,
let me tell you this. I'm not going to scream, and I'm not going to quit.
Ollie.
Please.
Put Ollie on
no, just go ahead, man. Just go ahead. I ain't going to say nothing.
Go ahead. Jam.
Jam.
That was Ollie screaming. Hold on. Jam, that was Ollie screaming.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I ain't got no comment, man. Go ahead.
Okay. And because Ali was screaming,
go ahead,
Ali on mute.
Okay, Jam. Political disagreements aside, the reason why I didn't touch on January 6th is because it had nothing to do with your book as far as like what you were trying to convey about racism. That's just a chapter in a book, and I didn't think it was necessary to hash that out because then we would have argued about something else, and that would have been
correct.
But since we're on that subject now because Jay is bringing it up, you have to remove the paragraph about Brian Sicknick and the fire extinguisher, okay? Because that part is emphatically untrue. Because Brian Sicknick was never hit with a fire extinguisher, and that was not the cause of his death.
At the time, that's what was reported on the news and Wall Street Journal, brother.
But you wrote the book in February, sir, in the Brian Sicknick story.
No, I published the book in February of this year. But my book was written. My book was written in 2021.
I know, but the story about Brian Sicknick was clarified a month after January 6th.
I will change it.
Thank you, sir.
And fuck you, Reese.
Hey, Jay, I got to say, that whole chapter is nothing that we don't already know.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I could totally parse that. Trust me, Jay, I'm not trying to bash the book, but I have to be honest.
You're bash the book, nigga.
I'm not.
Well, what he started out the chapter by saying, united we stand. Divided, we fall.
That
was
there's
the
never been
that
a case
and
in American history.
What we already know is that's how their God works, because they're a divided people, and they know.
Yes, we are. We always have been.
Yes, you know you are. So they chant that "United we stand," just like in a Ouija board. So it can produce their God
We're far less divided than Sunnis and Kurds. We're far less divided than Protestants and Catholics in Ireland.
You have nothing.
Let me ask a question, though, Mr. Reese. My book is called Hate Without a Cause, is it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Mr. Reese, it's called Hate Without a Cause, right? Was January 6th an example of hate without a cause?
No, by no stretch of the imagination. It's
so them trying
untrue.
To take over the government because of a
That's
lie
not
was
point,
not
sir.
Hate without a cause?
No, sir, that is opinion. They weren't trying to take over the government. They were actually, in fact, if you don't watch my show, this has been debunked 9 ways till Sunday. No one was trying to take over the Capitol. In fact, there was no violent assault.
I didn't
Inside
say what they were trying
government.
To do, brother. What I'm trying to ask you is what they did as citizens to go into the Capitol. Was that not hateful? Was that not hate without a cause? The Capitol ain't done nothing
was
to
it
them.
Wrong,
the
Reese?
Man just lost the election.
Yes, it was.
Reese,
yes,
was it,
the means in
was
which
it wrong, Reese?
Yes, the means in which everybody who has been charged was 100% wrong by the means in which they entered that Capitol.
That's
building.
All I'm talking about.
No, you're not. That's not all you're talking about. You're putting.
That's
listen,
all I'm
you're
talking about.
Motives.
I'm talking about hate and division, just like me and
Jim.
You.
Jim.
Oh,
you're
my
putting
God.
Motives. You're
nigga,
putting
your
motives.
Interview was yesterday, Reese. Why are you coming over here trying to have two?
Jay King, I'm going to ask respectfully, please, so I could just. The man's responding to me, and I just want to talk.
You've been talking the whole time you came. Nigga, shut
please,
up.
Jay King.
Ali, he didn't speak when he's asking a.
That's all
Ali,
I'm asking, Jay. Just
question.
For a little bit of respect and
Let me,
just a little bit more.
January 6th
inserted into my book was simply to make a demonstration of hate without a cause, and that's it.
Okay, and what I'm saying to you is that you're applying motive to people you've never met, and you have no idea what that motive is.
I apply a motive. I'm talking about an example.
Sir, what
of
do you think the definition? Sir, what do you think the definition of saying that they are hateful? You are talking about an emotion that individuals have. You are applying
well,
a motive to people.
I'm talking about the action. I'm not talking about how they felt about it.
You
oh,
don't know.
I'm talking about their
book.
Actions was hateful.
Again,
Reeves,
you don't,
for his
you're
book,
a fine motive without
Reeves,
that.
Reeves,
yeah.
For his
yeah.
book, for his book, this is one of the actions that look like hate without a cause to him.
Oh, no. I agree with you, Jay. I know what he said.
That's all I was talking
but
about.
But you're – hold on. You're talking out two sides of your mouth, Jim. I just said to you.
Hey, man,
you
know
can't
what?
Say,
yesterday, I thought we got along, and today
we are getting along.
I'm seeing the real side of you, brother. You really are a destroyer.
Jam. We're having
jam,
a discussion.
A minute,
you don't have to get animated because I don't agree with you.
Jam.
I'll be quiet.
He's a wild paddle.
It's
he's
just
distorted.
Dude, Jam. All we're doing is listen. Here I am disagreeing
jam.
With you, and you're angry because I refuse to agree with you.
I'm
that
not angry,
no
brother.
Sense.
I'm trying to clarify that
okay.
that was just
then
an example.
Reading.
Whether it was a good example or a bad example, I can accept. But that's
okay,
my
what
thought
I'm saying,
of
what
why
I'm saying
I put it
to
in.
You is, okay, you're calling it unmitigated or you're talking about that it's hateful actions. I'm not saying that you don't have a right to call it that. I'm just
that's
saying
what
that
I, that's the only reason I put it in.
Damn,
it was an insurrection. It was insurrection. It
damn,
was an
I'm going to finish.
Or
wasn't. I'm going
or
to finish
wasn't.
The sentence. What I said was this: you're applying motive. They had hate.
I don't have no motive for why they did what they did. I was showing that as an example of hate and division.
No. Damn,
well,
you have
me,
to be quiet so you can
me.
Hear what I said.
You guys beating them up for? The hell are you beating them up for?
I said you are applying motive to individuals, right? You're saying what they did was hateful. That is applying motive. That's the definition of it. You're applying motive.
That was
to people
talking
who have no
about
idea.
Their actions, sir. The action.
Again, that's applying
motive. I
didn't
motive. Name one person.
You're applying motive, sir. That's the definition of applying motive.
Okay, so what's wrong with that? It's my opinion.
Reese,
Jesus Christ. Okay, never mind. Reese, Dave Smith says, fuck Reese. The black officers were called nigger over and over again. They were
there's no evidence of
nigger.
That.
What
there's
more
no evidence
you
of
mean?
That. There's no evidence of that. Dave Smith. There's no evidence of that.
Why you didn't mute? Why you didn't mute what he said? You read the comment. That's the shit I was saying. You put me on mute for saying the same shit you just read.
Because you're yelling.
There's no evidence.
Because you're yelling. I'm gonna tell you why, Ali. Let me tell you why, Ali. Because you yell over everybody. You don't participate in the conversation. You've become a yeller on this show. And to be quite frank and honest with you, it's nerve wracking. And I would love for you to make your points. You make good points, but you lose them because of your delivery. Maybe you need to work on it. Yes, Lambert Davis, how are you?
Well, first I wanted to send a shout-out to you, Jay, because there was an interesting thing that happened in Del Paso Heights at Robertson Community Center, and I saw Jay show up. And as you saw, the cheesecakes created a frenzy amongst family and friends. I saw some people in there I went to elementary school with last night. Shout out to what happened last night. And as I listen to Reese exchange with Jam, I have a question for Reese, which is, do you consider the Million Man March a hate without a cause?
Reese?
You could hear a pin drop now, huh? I'll go on mute. That must have frightened him.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. My earphones fell out. I'm sorry, Lambert. I didn't know you were addressing.
Oh,
me.
I can say it again.
Yes, sir.
You know, because you're the only person I've ever heard admit you're a hater. Most people
yeah,
deny
that all
it.
The time, sir. You say that
okay,
all
well,
the
time. I'll follow up. Well, that's actually a compliment, but I'll leave it alone for the rest of my life on that. But my
okay.
question was, since
yes,
you were saying the people who went into the Capitol, I'm talking about their behavior,
yes, sir,
was misinterpreted as not hate with a cause. Would you consider the Million Man March hate without a cause?
No, I was a big supporter of the Million Man March. Huge supporter.
Case closed. Case closed. You can deal with somebody else, Reese. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir. You too, sir.
Please send my cheesecake as a side note.
So let me. So first of all, Reese, just so that you know, officers did testify that black officers were called niggers. That they did testify and say that.
So I've never disputed that they testified to it, sir, but that doesn't make it truthful.
Well, you said you said that there's no evidence of that. So
everyone who was inside that building videotaped it, and so and the FBI has been withholding over a million minutes. There's no evidence.
You said there was no evidence of it.
Testimony is not evidence. Just testimony.
Oh God.
Reese,
it isn't.
Reese,
it's testimony.
Yes, Reese, testimony is evidence. Testimony from a law enforcement.
I went to
officer.
The feds because of testimony. Reese
is on mute. Reese only says that. See, Reese. See, this is where you guys can't get mad at Reese, but this is where I have a lot more power than you. I know.
That's right, Jay.
My power is that I have the mute button, and I use that motherfucker. Because Reese don't get to, you see how Reese tried to change the narrative. First he said it was never said. Remember that? That's not true. There's no evidence of that. So then you say, no, there is evidence. Officers testified. Well, testimony isn't evidence. When it's from a law enforcement officer, testimony is evidence. Because a law enforcement officer is sworn to uphold and tell the truth. Now, a law enforcement officer can lie, and when he lies, he perjures himself. But as you all know, a law enforcement officers get extended due process beyond that of our normal citizens. And so Reese, again, instead of Reese saying, you know what, I didn't know that, I apologize. Reese can't be wrong. And that you know, that's where Reese, and so, and I understand why you would say what happened on January 6th was hate without a cause. Because even if you don't like something, if you don't like what happened, it was hateful, and there was no cause to be hateful to try to overthrow our government. Or try to overthrow the electoral process. Because no matter what people say, those people were there to trying to overthrow, stop, or halt the electoral process that they hated, that they didn't think was fair. But over 90 different judges in courts said not only was it fair, that there was no widespread fraud of any sort. If this was the shoe on the other foot, Republicans would be saying that what the Democrats did was criminal, that even the sitting president at the time should go to jail. They have all those kind of things to say, and I would agree with them because I'm not married to a party. But you have to remember that people that are to parties, political processes, no matter what, will stand with that party and with that process through thick and thin. The same way they'll stick with their lie and the statements they make through thick and thin. And I see Reese do that on this show all the time. You guys see him, you hear him, and that's who Reese is. And I know it. And so sometimes I have to be honest. Sometimes I can deal with it. Sometimes I can't. And when I can't, I will get his ass up out of here. And y'all have seen him. So let me just say this for Reese, you guys, because he don't know this. If a cop's word evidence in court, a lot of people wonder if a cop's word is evidence in court. In a criminal case, the prosecution has the burden of proving the defendant's guilt. Hence, the phrase, we have all heard innocent until proven guilty. The prosecution will use a wide variety of tactics to prove a defendant's guilt, including the testimony of law enforcement officers. A law enforcement officer's testimony is considered evidence in a court of law. Mm-hmm. However, as with any witness testimony, the credibility of that evidence can be questioned, but it is, in fact, evidence.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. Dave Smith said Reese is full of shit. There's no evidence that the election was stolen either, but he believed that shit.
It's funny. That's funny because that's funny that Dave Smith talks about what he believes. Dave Smith, with all due respect, dude, I get that I'm your white whale, but fact still remains, there's a lot of shit that you believe, my friend, that I never ever sit up here and make fun of you about. But whether or not I believe the election was stolen, ask yourself about 2016, because you were on here screaming and hollering about the election being stolen from Hillary Clinton, right? And Russian interference.
Who?
You believe that nonsense. Dave Smith?
Who are you talking to me?
No, Dave Smith. You heard me. Your name ain't Dave Smith.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
whether the election was stolen or not. What produced that insurrection in America against its own people?
Because that's
what made
what,
that.
What,
like,
what
zeitgeist?
What world
what
you
zeitgeist made that fall
do
apart?
You see, first of all, you sound dumb, and you're living in your own myopic view. You forget 600,000 people died in a civil war in this country, brother versus brother. You're going to sit up and talk about insurrection. You guys are talking about insurrection like it's worse than 9/11.
No, the television
Stop
talked
it.
About
well, first
insurrection.
Of all, Reese, you're talking about an insurrection versus a civil war that took place when
no,
countries
no, what I'm saying is that he's saying about
so
a country that turned against itself, Jay.
You can't
I'm not complaining it. I'm comparing it.
And you can't
compare.
You're trying to
compare.
He's talking over you, Jay. He's talking over you, Jay.
Why don't you listen? Why don't you tell on me a little more?
It's not like Jay King can't hear what's happening. I mean, fucking Ali Jay is on here too.
I told you, bitch. Don't come over here fucking because you got Richard again. You big fat funky motherfucker. You better stop fucking with me.
Skinny little fucking
nigga, smell your coochie. You smell like catfish and goulash.
So let me give you the let me give you guys the definition of conflate, because ninth grade be fucking with me.
Oh, God.
Conflate. Combine two or more text ideas into one. The urban crises conflate the number of different economic and social issues. So let me tell you guys when it became a conflating and comparison. When he took two different incidences and tried to put them together, that's conflating. And furthermore, tried to compare them against each other. So Reese, you can conflate and compare at the same time, just the FYI. Now, I know you think you're smarter than everybody here. Fortunately for this show and for the people that listen to it, that's only a thought in your mind. It's not a truth. It's not real.
Yusef conflate.
Okay,
means
so I can
conflict.
Make sure that I make myself clear. Yusef Kente said that the country turned against itself. Right? In other words, they're fighting amongst themselves.
There
right?
were,
and so
there were
my
people,
comparison is.
So there were people in the country that turned against its government. Yes, there were
Thank
people
you.
In our
Again,
country.
So what I said,
and
well,
those people
it is no different.
That turned.
Jay?
Mm-hmm.
Just let me finish. You can put me on mute all day. It doesn't change the fact that I'm trying to get
I didn't put you on mute. Dave Smith.
Oh, yeah, for it.
Trump didn't cheat when Hillary Clinton won. I'm sorry to say that what happened was the democratic process worked, and it was proven because Democrats cheated from the beginning. It's hard for you all to understand that Hillary Clinton did not have real support, not real winning support, the way Donald Trump had real winning support, because the Republican Party did something that the Democratic Party didn't do, and that is they had a fair and square electoral process inside the party. The Democratic Party let all of the candidates go against each other with everything tilted in the favor of Jeb Bush. The money, they gave him all of their money. They gave him he started off with $100 million more than everybody else. They did not want Donald Trump as their candidate. That's why they let him be on television so much. They thought by including him in television that it would further exacerbate who he was, and they would be able to say, oh, my God, we don't want this guy running the country. And that's not what they got. They got the opposite. Because Donald Trump was the same guy that said John McCain wasn't a winner, he was a loser, and people said, because he got captured in war, and people said that Donald Trump just signed his own obituary. It was over with. But the next day, he was up 6 more points. And that's when we knew that the world of politics with regular everyday Americans was changing, that the process didn't control the people, that the people were going to control the process. And that's what happened. So the Republican Party, with all of the horrible things they said about Donald Trump, had to give in, bow down, and kiss the ring. The Democratic Party saw what happened. And the Democratic Party said, we're not going to go the fate of the Republican Party. We're going to pick our candidate. We don't give a damn what the people say or what the people think. And the first thing they did was say, we're only going to have 3 debates. Now, why 3? Well, because you had to have some debates, but we're not going to have all those debates like the Republicans did with Donald Trump. Because if we have all those debates like they did with Donald Trump, we might lose. We're going to give Hillary all of the superdelegates, and they make up 40% of our total delegate count. So we put her in a great place to be guaranteed a victory. The only way she wouldn't be victorious is if some of us in this room went against her and we're all together. So they gave her a 40 percentage point lead by giving her all of the superdelegates. Now, the majority of those superdelegates did what they were supposed to do, but about 2% didn't. So 38% went to Hillary, 2% said, no, this isn't fair, and didn't follow what the party said. And Hillary beat Bernie Sanders by 7 points, which said Bernie Sanders really beat Hillary Clinton. So now you have a winning candidate, Donald Trump, versus a losing candidate, Hillary Clinton. And we've seen this happen in sports, where a football team gets lucky and wins a game by happenstance, going against another team who was clearly a victor, and they get to the Super Bowl and they get trounced because the team that should have won, for some ungodly reason, something happened, and they didn't. So when Hillary Clinton went against Donald Trump, all of the mechanisms were in place that if it was super close, that the Democrats could pull it out. The same way when Bush and Gore ran, and it was super close, and it came down to Florida, and Jeb Bush was the governor, his brother won. Because in politics, if you ain't cheating, you ain't winning. What they say, if you ain't cheating, you ain't, what is it, Reese?
You ain't trying.
You ain't trying. You ain't cheating, you ain't trying. So Hillary Clinton, she was cheated, Dave Smith. She was cheated by her own party. And the cheat was pretending that she was a winner. They cheated her by pretending that she was the best candidate for the party. She wasn't, and that's why she didn't win. And if she ran today, she wouldn't win. She has a stench on her that can be smelled halfway around the world, no matter where she's at. And that's just the honest to goodness truth. And I know that there are a lot of Hillary lovers out there, but Donald Trump, if anybody beat anybody fair and square in this particular race, Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton fair and square, so much so that even today, when she go to sleep and she wake up in the morning, she's like, it was 2016. It scared the shit out of her.
She'll win if she run again.
No, she
no, she won't.
What they teach you in the
that bitch is done.
Christy Graham said, oh, my God, now I am logged in. I've been here listening, but just realized I could not comment until I logged in. Have mercy on me. What a damn shame. But to my fellow sweat hogs, up your nose with a rubber hose. Hello, I'm back for the piss and bubbles.
Who was that, Jay?
Christy Graham. Now, Christy, I'm going to tell you, let me tell you when a woman will win, because a woman will be president of the United States of America.
Jay, the sacrifice is made again, Jay. They made the sacrifice two times now.
Hillary won't run. But a woman will win. The next person that will win and be a great president will be someone who really understands our country in its entirety, the rich, the poor, and the middle class, and recognize that the poor and middle class no longer exist in this country, the middle class no longer exists, and the poor becoming more plentiful, and that we literally have to figure out a way to start making it where anyone can own a home that makes $30,000 a year or more, which means that you are at least gainfully employed in a real job. And then we have to build communities and make them revenue generators where the people who live in the community can invest in their own community and make a revenue from it. We also have to make sure that when we're having the conversation about diversity, equity, and inclusion, we mean everybody. Nobody's excluded, not even white folks. That if we're going to be diverse, equitable, and inclusive, that we have to be that very thing. We have to stop speaking in generalities, which won't happen as individuals, but as a government, as leadership, and as a rule, if we want to make the country better. So that means that you're going to have new thought thinkers. You can't have people who think like yesterday. And, you know, and to be honest with you, you can't have not. And I believe communities are going to start doing this because the leadership is not going to come from a hierarchy. It's going to start coming from the ground level. Jana Marie said a woman will only be president if the president dies and she's vice president or speaker of the house. I just think that the way you guys are emasculating women, not emasculating, but masculating women, there's going to be a woman, she's going to be president, and she's going to probably sound like this. First, let me say that I believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion. And while I am happy,
probably be that woman you posted on Facebook
United
today.
States of America, I would like to bring my wife here. And she's, as you can see, she is with a child. We will have a child in the White House. And I just want to say, I'm glad we were able to get Brittany Griner out of the Russian prison because that is my job as president of the United States of America to protect all American citizens. So I know a lot of people say a woman could never be president. But dag nabbit, I did it.
Ma'am, can I ask you a question?
President.
Yes.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Yes.
Will you protect our borders, ma'am?
As for our borders, I am a staunch supporter of building the wall. As is Joe Biden, you all know, Joe wasn't sleepy when it came to getting this border built, this border wall. Continuing with the Donald Trump MAGA program and Joe Biden's Build Up America, I will continue to build that wall. Of course, the LGBTQ community will have an open door, and they won't have to climb. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that, ma'am.
Christy Graham says, that actually sounds plausible and tangible, Jen. You have changed my mind to have an open mindset. Carla says she got to have big tits and blonde hair, or I'm not voting for it.
It'll probably be a transgender.
Ma'am, do you have testicles?
Well, first of all, there's nothing wrong with us being transgender, whoever the lady was. Yes, I do have testicles, but I am a girl. Thank you.
Imagine that. That would be the biggest shit on women, that the first woman in office, that the first woman president is really a man dressing like a woman.
First of all, listen, I am a woman. Just because I have testicles doesn't make me not a woman. I'm a woman and I have a wife, and we're having a baby, okay? and we're in the White House. Now take that.
You have Gloria Steinem's endorsement, ma'am.
Sticks and stones may break my bone. Whoever that is.
What did everybody think about the chapter?
What did you guys think of the chapter?
The chapter was something we already knew about.
I didn't ask you that. I said, what did you think about it? You can say anything you want.
Look at Jam. Jam came out with the balls. He said, I ain't asked you that, white man.
Well, okay. I didn't like the chapter. It was already
He's catching on, Queen Mary. He's catching on.
Okay.
Well, I thought it was a very good topic to be writing about. You know, it talked about, you know, the insurrection. It talked about the problems in America. It talked about, you know, racism isn't even as big as the real problem in America. So
hey,
it touched on a – what's that?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. Hate and division, you're right.
Right, right. That's why I was saying at the beginning of the chapter, you know, it's that anthemism that they all chant when they need each other and they pull together and their God works. You know, that united we stand shit, you know, all that shit like that, you know.
Who is
so
that?
So the thing, well, the ones that came up with the united we stand, divided we fall shit. Who are they that said that?
Okay, so you think that because someone came up with the saying "United we stand, divided we fall," that we all
he's answering Jam's question, man. Why are you talking, Kente? Go ahead, man.
Why are you talking? Nobody was talking to you. Because Ali is right.
Ali is absolutely right. He's answering the question that Jam asked him.
Nicole.
You know, so I like how you jumped on a lot of points about, you know, it's something that needs to be talked about because they want you to forget about that insurrection. See, that's why Jesus said these things must happen. It's going
to
be wars
and
rumors of wars.
In Babylon.
See, but
the
thing is, this country always hear about wars, but when it come on their own land. See, Jesus said, when you see these things, know that trouble is near. Know that shit is fucked up. They fucked up and they can't govern. The government, see, Christ, no, he couldn't say nothing about the government because of the times he is, but the government's fucked up, all of them. They're fucked up. You can't help but say that shit. And it's about becoming unshackled. The government's of the world.
And if we don't stop hating division, I agree, brother.
Division, absolutely.
We can all become unshackled.
Jam, you don't need to write a movie because you are the movie. You're a main character.
Jesus Christ, somebody get him.
You don't need to promote no movie shit.
And let
somebody get him a towel.
This is the real movie right here, man.
Somebody get Jam a towel for his.
See, he don't. Reese don't get it. You know, he just don't get it. He don't. He's committed. He took an oath. You know, and Malcolm had him in his time. You got to accept the shit, man, and know that you're in your time. Don't let him get you feathered up like that, because that's what he wants. Because then they began to look at you as angry, as falling, as all these scrap words to describe you. You know,
well,
so don't be tripping on the shit they say, man. They hate that you have the intellect to write about it. They hate that your perception is on target. That's what they hate. It's best to just check it out and listen to them.
Now, Jam, once you come on the Six Sides Radio platform, it's going to be
shut
a great
the
experience.
Fuck up,
Nicole and I will take
it. What the? Shut the fuck up. I'm going to go on your motherfucking stupid-ass radio station. This is JK station right here, motherfucker.
Okay, thank you.
Why
thank you, Jam. We'll be in touch. Thank
shit.
You. Thank you, Dan.
You a trick to the writer here. You up here tricking for whatever King Cole. You trick.
Lisa.
Why are you going to invite other people to come get listen to your back?
Lisa, if you were the conductor of a train, it would never be on time. That's all I know.
Well, motherfucker, let me tell you something.
Take your lipstick off.
I was a conductor. I was a conductor of many trains. Now go figure that one out.
Take the belt from around your waist.
John Beckman always comes in like a Charles Dickens narrative. like the old wind.
I am Charles, and I'm your Dickens.
Yeah, like
how
a
do you
Charles
like that?
Dickens. You come in like Charles Dickens' net character.
Hey, brother, thank you for the encouragement, Kente.
Hey, man, you growing, man. I told you you're going to be a king. You got 12 days to get through this rites of passage shit. You got to go some more cussing these motherfuckers out, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and
sir.
And realizing, you know, just like Psycho Alpha Disco Beta, Bio Aqua Dulu, Emotion Picture Underwater Starring. You the star,
why don't
man.
Why
do
you use your shirt to wipe your nose? Get some of that shit off your nose,
up,
you sir. Get some of that shit off your nose.
Like
you've been kissing
you
his ass since he's been talking to
you. You a trick.
Him.
You
look,
a
when you
trick.
Come on
you
to
become,
the Six Sides Radio platform,
you
have your
emasculate.
Nicole will
you're
take care
trick,
of you.
Man.
Thank you.
You're a
looking
trick.
Forward to it, Jam. Thanks.
You're a trick. Your radio station is garbage. Matter of fact, who's listening?
My radio station's been going strong for 11 years. Fuck you.
Oh, shit. The
Jam,
fuck.
I was
why
impressed
you
that you grew up in Santa Maria.
Why are you promoting
I
your
grew
show?
Up about 60 miles north of you in Morro Bay area.
Sure.
We're both Central Coasters.
Ruby Red.
Yep.
Can I do the history moment?
Oh, yes. That would be wonderful.
Shut up.
Oh, such a lovely group.
Yes. I'm overwhelmed.
The largest terrorist attack in Oklahoma was not at the federal building in Oklahoma City in 1995. It was down the road in Tulsa in 1921. The Greenwood neighborhood of Tulsa, Oklahoma was unique. In the 20th century, it was referred to as Black Wall Street. It was home to Black and Native Americans who had become wealthy from oil discovery. Wealth, however, did not mean equality. White residents were disturbed by the growing wealth, black wealth, and sought to impose official segregation measures. In 1914, Tulsa passed a law that forbade anyone from living on a block where more than three-quarters of the pre-existing residents were of another race. In isolation, Greenwood thrived. Its main strip boasted attorney's offices, auto shops, cafes, a movie theater, funeral homes, pool halls, beauty salons, grocery stores, furriers, and confectionaries. The resentment among whites against this community was a powder keg awaiting to spark, a hate without a cause. That spark
Thank
came
you,
with
Jake.
A sexual assault allegation against a black teenager named Dick Rowland. What happened in the elevator of the Drexel building on May 30th, 1921 is unclear, but the common narrative is that Rowland accidentally tripped against its operator, a white 17-year-old named Sarah Page, causing her to scream. A bystander who heard the scream called the police, and like a game of telephone, the story became more and more inflammatory with each retelling and spread rapidly. A black man took his life into his hands if there was even the suggestion of interest in or offense against a white woman. When Rowland was captured, some of the World War I veterans from Greenwood armed themselves in front of the courthouse to prevent a lynching. They were justified in their fear. a lynching occurred in Tulsa the year before. Greenwood's black newspaper, the Tulsa Star, reported the August 1920 lynching of a white teenager accused of murder by a white mob. The paper reported that the Tulsa police had done little to protect the lynching victim, who had been taken from his jail cell at the county courthouse. In front of the courthouse, a group of white men approached the black men from Greenwood. "Nigger, what are you going to do with that pistol?" one of the white men asked. "I'm going to use it if I need to," was the reply. The white man grabbed for the gun, and the gunshot rang out. It's unclear whether it was accidental, a warning shot, or an attempt to injure or kill. In any case, all hell broke loose. The groups of white and black men had a running gunfight all the way to Greenwood. When they got there, the group of whites, which had grown in number, began firing indiscriminately on black bystanders. Black people were shot in the streets and dragged behind cars with nooses tied around their necks. Then came the airplanes. I could see planes circling in midair, Buck Colbert Franklin, a black lawyer in Tulsa, recounted. They grew in number and hummed, darted, and dipped low. I could hear something like hail falling upon the top of my office building. He looked out the window down East Archer. I saw the old Midway Hotel on fire, burning from its top, and then another, and then another, and another building began to burn from their top, he said, describing the aerial bombardment of Greenwood. The sidewalks were covered with burning turpentine balls. I knew all too well where they came from. Black people were fleeing from burning homes were machine gunned down in the street. Tulsa civic leaders clung to conservative estimates. The number of the dead no doubt climbed well into the hundreds, making the burning in Tulsa the deadliest domestic American outbreak since the Civil War. Maurice Willows, an American Red Cross social worker, wrote the 1921 report of the Aid Society on their activities during the and after the violence. He reported that up to 300 blacks were killed. He described the numerous stations in the city set up by the Red Cross to aid the wounded. He also reported that in the rush to bury the bodies, no records were made of many of the burials. The Tulsa massacre destroyed more than 35 blocks of the city, along with more than 1,200 homes, and left some 300 people dead, mostly black. 10,000 people were left homeless. Yet this act of domestic terrorism is rarely mentioned or taught in schools. What we choose to remember speaks volumes. This is America's history.
Amen.
Father in heaven, too many tragedies in our lives and in our world. We know you are not the cause of it. Free will and the evil seeds of greed and hate blossom the damage spread by others in our worlds. Give us the strength to stand tall in our hearts, to fence off the attacks from hell and people from those places of destruction. Give us the power to overlook temptation and keep us from the harm that even those close to us enjoy seeing, even if it's just an evil, crooked smile for them. Lead us in the direction to do your work, whether it's a large contribution of some sort or just a kind word of encouragement, maybe even a hug, a warm embrace. Deliver us from evil. Keep us from harm's way. For the true believers, make a safe place. For the non-believers, show them the way. Get us all together, moving in the same direction for loving each other and greatness.
Jesus, save us.
Amen.
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 Amen. Love. We got the Six Eyes radio show. Six Eyes, what you doing on your radio? He did that same shit yesterday. Okay. Reese on the radio, what you got going on today?
We will do the usual, debunking liberal myths, especially more Donald Trump news as it comes out. We got into a little bit yesterday about Letitia James and her plan to thwart Donald Trump's campaign plan for 2024. Talk a little bit about the midterms and the usual stuff. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And also, sorry, 5 o'clock Eastern today, I'll be on WTIC. 5 o'clock Eastern, I'll be on WTIC.com from 5 to 6.
Hey, amen. Tomorrow at 6:30 a.m., we have Freaky Fridays with Queens in the Morning. With Stephanie Beard and all the other lovely queens. Y'all check them out 6:30 a.m. Friday, Freaky Friday, to 7:55 a.m. live Pacific Standard Time right here on the J. King Network. J. King, let us know what you got going on today, man.
Today I have a meeting with the Vietnamese and Hmong Chambers. They're going to be partners with me at the California Black Chamber. I'm also you know, It's Never Too Late radio show. And then Traffic Jams. Then tonight I have a mixer with the El Paso Boulevard Partnership from 5:30 to 7:30 inside the Tap Wine Lounge, which is located at 1011 El Paso Boulevard. And if you're in Sacramento, I hope you all come out. You know, it's building up the community. And then I'm flying out tonight because we're going to be in Atlanta tomorrow, and then Saturday we'll be in Dothan, Alabama, performing Club Duvo. Mm-hmm.
Right on. Amen.
Right,
and then on. Later on today at 7:30 p.m., we got EMAC, where it's all about the music, damn it, right here on the J. King Network. Y'all check him out. Back to you, J. King.
Good morning, Charlie Beach. Six Eyes was disconnected, but he came back. Six Eyes, tell us about your show.
Tonight is Brother Quick on the Six Eyes Radio Network. That's 8 Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, 424-243-9617, Six Eyes Radio Network. Thank you.
All right. So I just want you guys to recognize that when I do the history moment, I always change it up. I don't do the history moment on everything, on the same types of things. What's interesting about some of the massacres and mob stories that took place against African Americans speak directly to Jam McNaughton's book, Hate Without a Cause. And anybody who tries to fight that notion, debate that notion, or cast it off is someone who doesn't want to live in the reality of what really took place in this country and the social and economic impact it has even today. Because as I said before, if you've had a major injury on your body and that required a surgery or a cast of some sort to assist in the healing, and you don't get those things taken care of, as time goes on, those things are going to still ail your body, and eventually they're going to have a negative impact on your life and could possibly kill you. And that's what's happening to this country. What this country did to its own body that it has never healed, never operated on, never put into a cast to correct it, has to do with this racial hate towards people of color, African American or black people in particular, because of the crimes that were allowed by the very government that was supposed to protect those people. Now, a lot of us don't know the historic facts about how blacks in Oklahoma became so wealthy. But the truth of the matter is that Oklahoma was Indian territory. Oklahoma was a state that the government gave to the Indians or the natives, the Cherokee Indians and the Blackfoot Indians, different tribes, that was their territory to break up and do how they pleased. And if a slave ran away and got to Oklahoma, and a white man went into Oklahoma to try to fetch that slave and was killed in Oklahoma, the government wouldn't do anything about it because that was sovereign land. And you went into that property at your own risk. So a lot of those Indians or Native Americans for that area, they would take black husbands or black wives and have black slaves. But when that territory was converted back to America, because that's what happened, they broke the treaty in essence, but they converted it back to America. But what they did do was they said, if you're a part of the Indian nation, you get this much land. And they gave out 160 parcels of land to each of the native men, women, and children. And to the African American, they gave it to the child, 160 acres for each child. But they did something even funkier than that. They gave the native the choice land, and they gave the African the barren land. And not only did they give them the barren land, they made them pay taxes on it. And they couldn't not pay taxes. In other words, they had to take the land, whether they wanted it or not. They had to pay the taxes, and if they couldn't, they could be jailed, and they would, and all the money that they earned would have to pay those taxes, even though they knew the land was barren. Well, along comes this company called Standard Oil. Standard Oil is drilling for oil. And they go to these places where the land is barren. And the reason why the land is barren is because they have a lot of minerals under the ground. One mineral in particular was oil. And that oil became the lifeline to America. Kerosene lamps, cars, engines, all of a sudden, oil is a big commodity. So all these black people and native people started having lots of money. That's where people like Sarah Rector, who you guys have heard me talk about. Sarah Rector was part of that nation, and she was on the Dawes Rolls, D-A-W-E-S. You guys can Google this and look it up, D-A-W-E-S-R-O-L-L-S, the Dawes Rolls. And these were the Native African children who received property. So Sarah's father has to pay $30 a year in taxes, which is a lot of money because people are probably making 20 cents a day. So to pay $30 in taxes is a lot of money. And so instead of paying those taxes, he makes a deal for Sarah with Standard Oil. Standard Oil pays the tax. And they drill for oil on her property. And they get a percentage. They get 25% or whatever. Well, they hit a gusher on Sarah Rector's land. And she's making upwards $1,500, $1,600 a day, which is tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in today's money. And she becomes the richest black girl in the world. Now, you have to remember that you can't sell this land. But all of a sudden, when they find that Sarah Rector does well, another black kid, Danny, God, I can't remember Danny's last name, but this black kid, he ends up being killed, and white people end up with his land because he signed it over to them in case something happened to him. So when Jam Norton says hate without a cause, not just the title of a book, It's not just, you know, a way he feels. There's fact-based evidence for this. And just because he light-footing it on his book, because he light-foots it, he's just telling you how he feels about it. He's giving you citations. So how he feels, he's backing up with citations, but he's light-footing it. Because, see, if you really want to dig deep, you can find out in Elaine, Arkansas, a white woman was having an affair with another white dude, but when she almost got busted with him, and her husband busted her, she said, a black man did it, raping me. Because white women were smart. They knew how to play the game. And so white men, he's so angry, he gets up, he gets his friends, they go get a posse and they go burn down the black community because they got hate. They don't need a cause for it, they just hate. White people got mad that black people were doing so well financially, that these niggas and these engines with all this money, these niggas, what gives these niggas the right just to hate? And when I hear people try to dodge that it exists, or when I hear people try to act as though the hate that existed in that era doesn't have an impact today, I already know these are people that just want to stay in their small thinking. And there's a lot of small thinkers out here. It's why we repeat what we hear other people say. It's why when you get outside of, see, I don't buy the notion that the young boy tripped and touched the white girl. I don't buy the notion. I believe that that was just the excuse. The real notion I buy into, the real deal that I think will come out one of these days, is we're going to find out that white men borrowed money from black banks and didn't want to play these niggas back. Well, I'm not paying this nigger this money. What gives this nigger the right to feel like he can send me a notice on my property? He can't take my fucking property. And that's why. Tulsa, Oklahoma burned down. Because white men have a history of believing in their superiority. And when it's proven not to be true, they do everything they can to destroy it. That's been the history of this country. Wilmington, North Carolina. White and black come together to create the fusionist. White Democrats say to those white men, if you join with those niggers, you deserve the same fate that they get. And overthrew the election. Ocoee, Florida, black people just wanted to vote. The richest people in the county are two black men, Mosey Norman, Julius Perry. So they pay for everybody's poll tax. You want a poll tax, we're going to pay for it. The very white men that kill them are the same white men that need them to hire black folk to work for them, because black folk won't work without those two black men saying, yeah, you can work for them. 1921, they burned the black community down because they wanted to vote. That's hate without a cause. Not because they did anything, not because they wanted to cheat, because they wanted to vote. In this country, there has been a lot of hate without a cause. And a lot of it supported, protected, and encouraged by the very government that's supposed to protect it. You go to 1919, you can see the Red Summer. 25 major cities in these United States broke out in mob massacres because black men are coming back from World War One, and white men are afraid that black men are going to look for equal pay, better housing, equal rights. And so instead of it even happening, they caused riots and massacres. Black soldiers coming back from war just wanting to eat at dinner or lunch or breakfast, and a mob of whites see them and tell them, nigga, get out the uniform. And even when complied, even when black soldiers said, sir, I'm just going to go home. No, nigga, get out the uniform right now. But, sir, I only have my underwear. I don't care, nigga. And they get him out of his clothes, chase him down the street, shoot him in the ass, tar and feather him, then set him on fire. We don't want to deal with real truths. We don't want to be real honest because we've told a lot of lies to ourselves about this great country. I want you guys to remember that I say this to you. America is on the brink of falling apart. If America don't correct herself, if America don't pay her debt, America don't make it. The lies that this country has told itself and the lies that we continue to try to uphold are alarming and disheartening when I look at humanity, especially those of us who are supposed to be so smart and so educated. We're liars. We don't want to tell the truth. And so black folk will say, that's why we can't blame us for what our communities look like, because look what they've done to us. No, everybody got to take some blame. Mm-hmm. So that's why we should be ashamed of ourselves as black folk, that we would make our lives even less than, because we become the killer of self. We become the hater of self because we make mediocrity okay. I don't accept none of it. But I don't let white folk off the hook. I don't let this government off the hook. I don't let the hate that exists off the hook. These things are true. They're real. They happened. And even to a lesser degree, but they still happen. They're still baked into the fabric of America. It's in the foundation. So I don't necessarily have to agree with all that Jam McNorton writes and hate without a cause. I respect the brother for saying, you know what, I'm going to write and say something the way I want to say it. When you come on this show, you're going to get a critique. That's what we do. But I'm going to tell that all of you, hey, anytime you see somebody, stand up and decide that he or she is going to speak. And that's why Reese gets to speak here, whether you like it or not. And are brave enough to do it, you got to upload him. Go buy his book. It's on Amazon. It's not that expensive. Support the brother. Support who he is and what he's saying, and learn something and read something. And then I'm a reader of history and facts. I don't fuck with emotion like that. And you can call me a sexist, what I'm about to say, but that's for women. Women get to have emotions. Women have always got that, you know, be emotional and and have depth in what they feel and all that shit. The dudes don't have that. You, any dude that had that practiced that idea, you got little girl parts to you, and ain't nothing wrong with it. There's some of you guys that are just really soft dudes, and I respect it. I appreciate it. I just ain't one of them. Ain't no soft of these going to happen over here. You can't hurt my feelings. My feelings don't operate like that. Woman, she got the right to operate like that. Woman got a lot of burden on her, especially black woman. That's why she got the little roly thing in her neck. Any dude with the roly thing in his neck, you got little sissy parts to you. I'm sorry. I know I'm not supposed to say it, but it's true. Take the little roly things out your neck. All right, I got to do the Snitchy Smurf report, and we got so we can get out of here. So it is literally true that you can succeed best and quickest by helping others to succeed. Napoleon Hill, and one can find this truth in motion on Kings of the Morning. The Snitchy Smurf has stepped out on the Kings of the Morning third hour of power to support Kings Sharing Together. 22 points applied to King Jam Norton and King Reese, who interviewed on Reese on the radio rundown yesterday. It was a wonderful interview where our brother Jam shared his point of view, answering questions presented, even the tough questions. The interview went over the original allotment time, nearly 2 hours. King Jeffaroni receives 22 kudos to his accounting for sponsoring 5 copies of Hatred Without a Call. Hate Without a Call, by the way, where King Reese can help get the book into the hands of those who may interest to learn more, just not the immediate financial means. King Jam has expressed his appreciation for all and agreed to return for further interviews with his brother Reese. Let the record reflect, no presence of reckless hate was observed, only two brothers expressing their hashtag succeeding again. On yesterday, you continued in the reading and all Kings joined in the discussion. We are now approaching the halfway mark of our brother Jam's 12 days of reflection. Snitchy Smurf feels it may be possible that our brother will continue to participate beyond the open reading of his book. The Kings of the Morning third hour power for Wednesday, September 21st, 2022 went well, and far into the fifth hour, King Levi brought the topic of white privilege and its effect. Queen Mary held her own and shared further about her life experience. Appreciated, and after a full round of unfounded allegations and flying in all directions, mainly from the overrated Ann Ted Koppel, during the hot seat moment, Snitchy Smurf was under pressure and pushed off her chair to the point she had to go in that bag on her break time to address a few things, laugh out loud. Queen Mary, right in the middle of the madness, popped your tool with a slotted spoon, laugh out loud, timely and all in fun. The third hour ended with Slumber Sick Smurf, Queen Mary, King Beratosaurus, and Ted Koppelsaurus Charles, a.k.a. Penn, speaking on work life, weather, climate control. There was another King family wonderful present, and for most of the third hour, yet in this report, Smurf will focus on the fact that it was peaceful energy by the end of his departure. Please note, 22 points went to you, King, for helping us continue to keep the topics moving and discussions inclusive of all participating. Even Ted Koppelsaurus, who spoke insightful considerations with his brothers, a wonderful thing indeed, and this concludes the Snitchy Smurf Report. Thanks. Tomorrow I won't be here, you guys. You know what? It's according to what time we get in. I believe I get in early enough that I may be on the show tomorrow. So, Ali can have the board, but I'll control. If I get here, I'll have my iPad, so I'll be able to control it as well. So I'll be here. So, Dale, tune in, see if I'm here. My name is Jay King with Lynn Tolliver, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis, Yusef Kente, Brother Reverend Ali, Simi Braxton, Reese on the Radio, Last Breath Levi, Six Eyes, Funky Jude Modello, John Beckman, Queen Mary, Queen Nicole, telling you to get busy with it because you're going to have enough time dying. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Same bat time. Same bat time.
Too many motherfuckers.
Oh. It won't play the music. So, oh, there it is.
I hope that you can stop by anyhow, King Beckman.
Oh, Jesus freaking Christ, it's raining out here. I got my darn car windows open. What a moron.
Nicole, it's time for that water.
Oh,
you haven't drank no water all day.
How would you know this? How would you know that?
I know.
I'll be right back. King Reese, it rained in your car?
Yeah, it's raining and my windows won't close and I'm trying to get my stupid thing. It'll take a second. I'll get it.
That Reese car?
Yeah, it's got a key fob stuck. This key fob is a stupid mess.
That motherfucker got a skateboard for a car.
Oh. I'm sorry, who helped you write that stupid joke?
But the granite wasn't something off course, dude.
Got a skateboard and a dude buggy for a car.
Who helped you write that joke?
Happy first day of fall, everyone.
Yo, get that water.
No doubt. My favorite time of the year. I love the fall. Spring, too, but fall's my favorite. It's jacket weather.
You like the fall because all you do is fall, motherfucker.
No, you like the fall because you like to fall down and suck nuts.
Oh,
well, I'll be right back.
Kings in the morning, third hour.
Suck on these luscious nuts, nigga. How about that? Okay.
That's why it's raining. That's why it's raining on your nuts right now, nigga.
That's right. It's raining on my nuts, and I know exactly who likes a couple of.
Now you got pesticide nuts.
You want some? You probably want some wet, salty nuts too, don't you?
All right, so Nicole, I'm a little uncomfortable right here. So, what are we having for lunch?
It's salty nuts, Mickey. That's what you always have for lunch.
AGNS, the old gray
nutsack. Wow. So everybody's doing good. Ali, you're doing good.
Nigga, don't speak my name. Salty nuts,
yeah.
Nigga.
Mm-hmm. See?
Wow. Beckman, you all right?
I couldn't be better.
Beckman's good. Reese, you're good. Good. Mary, you're good.
To the ball game. Went to the ball game with AJ and Casey last night. Terrific.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's not talking
anything. We lost in the bottom of the ninth inning with a slide at home plate.
What happened to Mary?
Whoa, what game was this?
That was the Aviators game. It's the Oakland A's Triple A team.
Oh, the Triple A team? Did you go to the game?
Yeah, AK and I and Casey went last night.
Who are they the farm team for?
Oakland A's.
Oh, they are the Oakland A's farm team? Okay.
We played the Arizona Diamondbacks Triple A team, Reno. And they beat us.
Did you get any stars?
We lost in the bottom of the ninth with a play at the plate, and we were called out. So they won 3-2.
Oh, so you had a chance to tie it up.
Yep. Yep.
That sounds like a good game.
Reese, you ought to see this stadium. This stadium we play in here is better than the Oakland Coliseum.
Really?
People that play they don't even want to go to Oakland. They want to stay here and play. That's how good this stadium is.
That's they're spending money out there, dude. That's the stadium's supposed to be like that. And not only that, you get the fans to come out to those ball clubs too. The Nationals used to be the Potomac Nats, but now they're the Fred Nats because they moved from my area in Woodbridge and moved them all the way down to Fredericksburg. I haven't been to their new stadium, but I heard their new stadium is nice.
I'm telling you, these wait till you come and see Allegiant Stadium. It may not be as nice as SoFi Stadium, but I've never been there, but wait till you see this Allegiant Stadium. It'll blow your mind.
Dude, my plan, it would be the best idea ever, and to do a whole, like, web series of this. Can you imagine, right now, 18 weeks, if you had the money to do it, go 18 weeks to every football stadium for the entire football, we'll include even the playoffs, but to go to all the stadiums for the entire season, like every week do a road trip to go to every stadium, start from the East Coast and go from New England, come down to New Jersey, all the way to Miami, and then go across, like hit New Orleans. Hit Atlanta. Yeah, hit New Orleans, Tennessee, all of that stuff. Well, you hit Tennessee before you go to New Orleans. But hit Tennessee, New Orleans, then come up, go to Indianapolis, go to Chicago, even Cleveland and all that stuff, and then come all the way across the country to go to every stadium and end at the 18 weeks all the way on the West Cliff Coast. That would be amazing. You'd have to actually set up a schedule to do that.
Baseball people do that. Baseball fans do that.
I know.
Every stadium. Yeah.
That I would do in a heartbeat.
One stadium I want to go to is Lambeau Field. That's one of the originals, man. Lambeau Field up in Green Bay. That's like
But the tickets sell out all the time. The only time you'd be able to get tickets to Lambeau, it'll be like 85 degrees below zero.
I'd still go.
It would be like a freaking freeze box in that town. Yeah, but I would still go too. That's like a classic stadium.
You know, Lambeau Field, from what I see, because I've never been there, it's in an area where their homes are around it. It's not like being at Meadowlands. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a small town.
It's not like being in the middle of a city. It's like being in the middle of a neighborhood, like the Rose Bowl.
Exactly.
If you ever saw the Rose Bowl, you wouldn't believe it. It's all around homes. It's on a golf course, like a public golf course.
Well, what's the name used to? Well, you could still say it's just like that because the old Yankee Stadium, that was the same way. What's the other one? Isn't Wrigley Field like that too, where you could watch the game from your apartment?
Yeah. They set up stands
in the apartment building rooftops beyond the field, the left field wall, right field walls.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the only reason why I want to go to Wrigley. I don't even want to go to Wrigley Field. I want to go to one of the apartments and watch the game from the roof.
I agree. That would be phenomenal.
That's the whole experience. That's the spectacle.
Absolutely.
But I can't wait to get out there.
Yeah, you'll enjoy this. It's unbelievable. You'll see our hockey arena, which is right next. Well, it's kind of like a quarter mile away. It just stands out like a.
Hey, you know what? I forgot. Hockey season will be underway once I get there. Right? Starts in October.
Yeah. We might be able to catch
a hockey game too while you're here.
I know. That would be nice. I would totally go see the night.
My God, Reese. Inside the Knights Arena, hockey game. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm going to have to bring a yard. I'm going to have to bring more than a yard. That's going to be fun.
I know you said on your show you were hoping to get to Sacramento while you're out here and have Jam sign your book. But I think if we're getting together to do something for Levi, that would be in L.A., not Sacramento.
No, she wants. Weston wants to do it in Sacramento. She's gonna get. She's gonna get Levi up to Sacramento to do something. Oh no! Did she say L.A.?
Yeah, it's L.A.
She did say L.A. Then that sucks.
Yeah, hard for Levi to travel now.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, you might be right. Yeah, because from Las Vegas, right? Because Las Vegas to L.A., she said that there's a flight that's only like what, like 30, 40 minutes. Oh, it's 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Levi, where apparently where he lives, is not too far from LAX. So it's right there.
Oh, really?
Yep. It's right down the Imperial Highway,
which is right down the road from LAX.
Everybody I know who lives near LAX, it feels like the plane is about to land on their house.
Absolutely.
That's like the housing there is really cheap. Because it's like right on the runway.
It might be cheap
housing, but it's expensive to live there, I'll tell you that. I'm sure it's not
really
cheap rent. Oh, yeah, L.A.? You kidding me? No matter where, you could have it's like New York City. My buddy had like a 100-square-foot apartment, and he was paying like $2,000 a month, and this was like 20 years ago.
Dude, in 1992... after I got married, I lived in a three-room shack, a six-floor walk-up on 11th between Avenue B and C in Alphabet City. We did not have an official bathroom. It was a room that could only fit a toilet in it. Like, all that could fit was a toilet. And if you were a tall person, you had to leave the door open so your knee didn't hit the door.
Wow.
So where would you take a shower, like a community shower?
I was about to tell you. The shower was in the kitchen next to the stove.
Reese, where is this?
Yeah, but you showered in the toilet. You showered in the toilet, though, because that's what your ass sound like, a piece of shit.
That's right, and your mother bathed me in it, too. I sat in the toilet while your mother bathed me.
Uh-oh.
I bet some people actually do that. They probably take a French bath in the toilet. I wouldn't do it in New York.
So the shower curtain, John, what was so crazy was it was one of those old-timey showers where you had one bar on the end where the water was, right? And then the bar, when it went up above you, it was a big giant loop that you could put the shower rings on. So, and it would sit inside the little tub that you stood in. So you could literally, and I've done it, and I did it with my first wife. I was in the shower making scrambled eggs on the stove. Just to see if I could do it.
What the fuck? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's New York. Dude, and this is 1992, and that apartment was $1,800 a month.
Wow.
And it was rat infested. I used to sit with my .22 rifle in the living room and shoot the rats as they ran through the kitchen.
Wow.
It was like Seinfeld when Kramer was taking a shower and making a salad.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what
that's crazy.
Tossing the salad.
That's New York, man. That's New York. And the only thing you pay it for is location. Because where I live, that place was exclusive. It was nothing but hippie white folks. If you look up this movie called The Super, Joe Pesci did this movie called The Super just after the popularity of Goodfellas. And the movie is filmed on 11th Street between Avenue B and C. No, sorry, between A and B. I lived one block away on the same block, like literally a football field away from where it was filmed. So one day I was coming from the grocery store, and they had filmed the scene at the grocery store, and Joe Pesci is sitting in the director's chair while they're filming the scene, and the little black kid had just finished filming the scene at the store. So I lean in, and I'm looking as I'm walking by. I'm thinking, oh, my God, is that Joe Pesci? And Joe Pesci's looking directly at me while I'm walking in the street, and he starts squinting his eyes at me, too. So So I'm squinting my eyes at him. He's squinting his eyes at me. We both lean in at each other. We're about a good 50 yards from each other. But we're leaning in, looking at each other like we recognize each other. And I'm like, wow, Joe Pesci is looking at me. I said, that's Joe Pesci. He looks me right in the eye and he says, can you get the fuck off the set, please?
That's right. That's right. Because you was that trans. He thought you was that transvestite he ran up in.
Yo, wow. Dude, it was, listen to me. That was, to me, it's Joe Pesci. He just came off of doing Goodfellas. Dude, that's a blister on a supermodel, dude. I don't give a fuck that he insulted me. Joe Pesci told me to get the fuck off the set. He spoke to me.
That's where you're from. All Goodfellas.
He's a tough guy. Get the fuck off the set.
Yeah, dude, it was the greatest fucking moment. I laughed my ass off because it's like Joe Pesci being Joe Pesci.
Wow.
Ali, have you ever been to New York City?
Hey, other way.
Huh?
Other way.
Oh, we got to go around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Disruption.
Wow.
He's never coming to New York. The train ride is too long. And his horse and buggy's got a flat.
Jude, are you still here?
Jude's at the liquor store getting another bottle of vodka.
Nicole, where are you?
I guess everybody's gone.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
You got that water?
This one?
Yes, thank you very much.
Lee, when are you on WTIC again?
Tonight, today, 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
3 o'clock, no, 2 o'clock. Yeah, 5 o'clock Eastern, I'll be on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Todd has had jury duty. He had it the other day when I was on. And today at 5 o'clock, I'm going to fill in for him until 6. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do today, but I'm probably going to talk about the Letitia James lawsuit. So I'm probably going to go into that.
Well, that's the person who is who said that they weren't going to go after 45, but you did a collage, like a video collage yesterday of pretty much every statement that they said about going after 45. Is that the same person?
Yeah. Yes. With Nisha James. Yeah, she was screaming and hollering. Screaming and hollering, talking about, oh, this isn't politically motivated. But then she's on the stump saying, when she's elected, she's going to ruin his life and be a thorn in
every
his
day.
Side. Like, every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Nicole, just so you know, she filed a civil lawsuit against Trump and his kids yesterday because she didn't have enough evidence to file a criminal case against him.
Right.
So that's how weak this
right.
Yeah,
and she ain't got enough
money
to fight Donald Trump.
But see, again, why would you spend 3 years telling everyone that you're going to prosecute this man and you go, you have 3 years, you get everything, right? By the way, she was able, Donald Trump lost in court to keep his tax records sealed, and she got them, right? Now, everybody's been screaming and hollering about Donald Trump's taxes. Remember that? Donald Trump's taxes.
Yeah.
Why won't he show his taxes? Why won't he show? Because if they get him, they'll find out that he's dirty. Guess what? Letitia got his taxes. He lost in court to keep his taxes away from them. And what did she come up with? Not a criminal suit, because, again, his taxes were supposed to show criminal wrongdoing. She filed a civil case, which tells you all you need to know. So everybody's acting like, oh, she got him. Really? I thought his taxes were supposed to reveal wrongdoing.
And an attorney general can sue you for and family.
Exactly. And she also says, she says that he defrauded the banks by over-evaluating his business. Well, guess what, stupid? He didn't do it without help. The banks that he borrowed from did their own assessment of his assets and gave him the money. Oh,
right,
and there's that other troubling part that Letitia James can't get past. Donald Trump paid all the money back.
It's all paid back.
Right.
So again, it's like you're listening to this and you're going, what am I missing here? And it's not like the media doesn't know any of this. They're just not reporting it. Like, how do you not report that? You like, you say, okay, Letitia James is suing him. But the news reports, they have all the facts, right? They have all of the story as far as when it comes to Donald Trump. And this is all public record, and it's been in the news. So when you say Letitia James is suing him for this, this, that, and the third, then you go, but wait a minute. Letitia said that she was suing, she was going to get him in criminal court. Why didn't she get him in criminal court? Why not? And during the press conference, why didn't anybody ask?
Yeah. She ain't got enough money to be tied up with Trump
well,
in court.
Reese, why didn't anybody ask? When you think about it, why didn't none of the conservative people ask? So you know, if you
why didn't
ask,
who?
Why didn't Fox News and any of the other reporters ask?
I'm agreeing. I said why didn't anybody is that's what that means. Why didn't anyone ask? That's what anyone means. Why didn't anyone
ask your party?
Fox News included.
Yeah, so there's got to be a reason why.
Yeah, because they were, again, this is about pointing, like, ignoring what the facts are. It wasn't like
well,
it's
no,
not
no,
part of public
not
record.
Not everybody is against Trump. So why aren't the people
not everybody is against Trump? I didn't suggest
no.
that. I never suggested
saying,
that everybody was against
him. I'm not saying you did. I'm saying if not everyone is against him, why aren't the people who for him, why aren't they doing their job?
I agree. That's
I
why I said anyone. Which is hence why I said anyone. I'm not excluding when I say any. That means all.
The bottom line
and the reason why they're ignoring it, let me say this, John. Here's the reason why they're ignoring it. It sells more papers. It gets more clicks to only talk about the fact that he's got a civil lawsuit. That's what it's all about clickbait. So if you want to do your due diligence,
The bottom line is it's not criminal, it's civil. So she didn't really get him. Uh-oh. Did we lose everybody?
No, I didn't hear what you said.
I said the bottom line is it's not criminal, it's civil. And her ballywick was to get him criminally.
Yeah,
can't.
Exactly. That was always her job. But, you know, everybody knew. Look, when you're a freaking prosecutor looking for a crime, you know, and you literally, you campaign, just like the guy who campaigned against Bill Cosby. Remember him? The guy who said, he ran for office saying, we are going to get Bill Cosby locked up.
Right.
For drugging and sexually assaulting women. That was his campaign promise. And then he got into office, and that's exactly what he did, and he got it done. Letitia James, as I played in the video yesterday, was that's what her plan was. I'm going to sue him. I'm going to make sure that we, you know, he knows my name. And then she gets on the stage and talks about how he defrauded us. Like she's doing it for us. Yay, Letitia, get Donald Trump for us. Bitch, please. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Nicole, what do you have to say? Anything exciting?
No. Today I'm going to enjoy a calm day here at the office. I don't have to step outside of my break time to address anyone. I mean, this is awesome.
Good.
So, yesterday was lively. They thought something was going on for real, but it wasn't. I let them know it was okay.
At 10 o'clock, it
what was that?
Kendrick, you asked me what did I just say? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you know, no, it was just about Kim Beckham was asking me basically what. Like how my day was going, and I was just saying it's a calming day here at the office. I didn't have to go outside on my break time to address anyone like yesterday. Yeah, so Sorry, I'm just here doing a few things.
I think...
I mean, it's going to be a busy afternoon, but it's okay. It's good.
I know Jay's going to read the rest of his book on the air, but if I can say something about that January 6th section of the book, which, again, I had to avoid that. You have no idea, Beck. When I read this part about January 6th, dude, all I wanted to do was to, like, take that whole section and rip him to shreds on that section. And there's only one reason why. People are going to get mad at me when I say it, but that whole section is plagiarized.
Well, that's why I said we've heard this all before.
Yeah, no, we're talking about lifted, copied, and pasted, that whole whole chapter. There was nothing in there that wasn't copied and pasted in that section. Nothing. There were quotes from, again, like the whole, go ahead.
I was going to say, I agree with your assessment yesterday when Jan got upset when you said, I think this is all about his personal grievances and his life story with what he's experienced, and he wouldn't acknowledge that.
Yeah, because you know what? Listen, there's a degree of which he can't tell everyone that this is, he's saying that I'm assessing this from afar, right? That's his intention, is to say, I'm a psychologist and I study the human, you know, brain and the human psyche, and this isn't coming from any place internal because it isn't about me, and I get that, but he injects himself in every scenario before explaining it. He talks about the scenario with the ball and chain. That ball and chain thing about his girlfriend, Lisa. He sets it up with how her
and
family members.
With the Victor story in the Air Force that was based on personal experience.
Exactly. And then he applies that individual, like Victor from the Air Force and Lisa from, you know, from the girlfriend.
Chicago.
He takes that, right, he sets that as the premise to all white people. And he goes, here's, in essence, my experience backs up what I say is factual. But you
well,
know,
so
I mean,
what?
Goes,
so what? Why are you critiquing
goes,
this shit? How come you just can't do an interview and just let him say he's saying and let him explain his book, whatever he's doing, keep to yourself? Why don't you just put it out? Why you got to be a critique and an asshole about it, Reese? And now you're talking about his shit. And now you're talking about his shit when he ain't here to speak up for himself. You terrible, man.
I said this in front of his face, Ali.
Who cares, man? That was a long time ago. Why are you talking about it now? You had your time. He was here. He's gone now. Why are you bringing it up? Because you a hater.
Because I fucking feel like it, and I can, and you can't do shit about it. Try this on for size, dude. Because I'm a grown fucking man, and I can do anything the fuck I want.
But you is, nigga. You can't stay away from your hate. You full of shit, man.
Everything
you do ain't right, nigga. But we don't give a fuck. We just let you do what you do.
Yeah,
God damn.
You don't let me do what I do. You don't ever let me do what I do. You nigga, you don't. You can't let me do it. If this is letting me do what I do, then shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. I'm listening to your faggot ass.
You
sitting up here talking about a man when he ain't here.
Now,
bitch, why you don't talk about the man when he here? Won't you call him on his phone and say all that fucked up shit you talking?
You said,
well, I would
let you do what you do.
He gets angry.
So let me do what I do and shut the fuck up. I'm gonna do
man,
what
you
I
motherfuckers
do.
Is bullshit. I hope I do see your bitch ass again, and you too, John. You some fuckers.
You ain't gonna do
what's
shit.
Going,
you gonna come in and you gonna give me a nice, sexy hug.
What's going on, you guys?
Ali is telling people what they can and cannot talk about. Ali believes that he's somebody's father or somebody's overlord, that he can tell them what they can and cannot talk
fuck
about.
Fuck all the bullshit. Tell him the truth, nigga. Why am I saying that?
No,
what
no,
did
no.
you do, Reese? What did you do,
we're talking about Jam's book. He wrote a book. It's for the public consumption, and we're having a conversation about it, which I'm allowed to
you
do.
You hate me in this book. Tell me you crazy.
I can
you
do
criticize
the fuck
this
I want.
Your chapters.
And guess what? I can do that, too.
Ali.
I could do that,
when
too.
When somebody writes a book, when somebody makes a movie, when somebody writes a song, when somebody has a radio show, people get to criticize. Now, whether you agree with it or not,
seven?
I'm for you. I'm just
what is
arguing
he, seven?
The point
do you
of
have
what
to explain
I
this to him like he's an infant?
Well, I'm just, no, but I'm just saying that this is normal. It's normal.
Well, he doesn't think it's normal. He believes that he can tell people what they can and cannot do and scream about it because he doesn't like it. He believes that what he
nigga, ain't nobody
what
screaming,
thinks,
you motherfucker.
Yo, do me a favor. Dude, listen to me. Your daddy is talking, and I want you to shut up.
Nigga, fuck you, nigga. And that's I mean that
you
shit, you bitch.
Hey, listen to me. When I see you, motherfucker, if I ever see
nigga,
you again,
when you see me, nigga,
I'm going to
shoot you right in your fucking mouth, you bitch.
Nigga, you don't like guns.
Nigga, watch. Nigga, bring your bitch ass down here. Nigga, you're going to get fucked up, Reese.
You never going to listen. You think you're going to fuck somebody up. You better wear your gold shoes when you do, nigga. I want you dressed.
Nah, nigga. I'm going to wear a motherfucking 9mm in your fucking mouth.
I'm going to slap you like a bitch, then I'm going to make out with you and make you my whore. I might marry you before Rosie.
You motherfuckers going to be coming to you and John's
funeral. I'm
going to
marry you. I'm going to marry you before I marry Rosie because I'm going to make you my bitch. And I'm going to put my finger in your...
Nigga, Rosie don't want to marry your fucked up, crazy face ass either, nigga.
Nigga, I'm going to make sure you walk me down the aisle, sexy fucking slut. I'm going to make sure... No, dude, listen to me. Let him keep making threats. He doesn't understand that I can actually cut this tape, put it to the police, and say,
I don't give
hey,
a fuck about the
me.
Police or the government or any motherfucking U.S.
Talking,
motherfucking
nigga.
Official,
keep
nigga.
Talking, nigga.
Fuck the United States and its fucking motherfucking punk-ass police, nigga. You's a bitch.
Punk-ass police,
and you'll get
huh?
shot, nigga.
Yeah,
fuck America. Fuck America, nigga.
Nigga, let me tell you something. You're going to be my biggest fucking fan when you see me again, dude.
Yeah,
so
okay.
You know
keep talking, nigga. Bring your bitch ass
nigga,
back on
yeah,
down
yeah.
here, nigga. We're going to
yeah.
see, nigga.
Worry,
we're going to see, nigga.
I'm coming in November, and I'm going to be in L.A., nigga. I'm a hot
nigga, don't
in
November, nigga. I'll buy you a plane ticket today, nigga.
Nigga, you can't buy me a bus ticket, nigga. You can't get me a
nigga,
bus ticket.
Nigga, go to the airport, nigga, and get a ticket for your bitch ass.
Keep your money, nigga. You're going to need them for bandages. Keep your
nigga,
money.
I'm going to fuck you up, you bitch. You and that
keep
motherfucker job.
I'm going to
whoop
your ass. I'm going to whoop your ass, and then I'm going to pay
you.
You
hater-ass, bitch-ass nigga. I told you I'm going to go on your show, you faggot.
I'm going to pay you to beat your ass.
Hey, what's going on?
How much we get paid for ass whooping?
He don't want to say it, but he's addressing everybody right
Nicole,
now.
Nicole, what's going
disappointed.
On?
Well,
don't trouble yourself with that fucking piece of shit. That nigga's a fucking animal.
Like
nobody gives a fuck about that dude. Seriously, if that dude choked on a fucking ham sandwich tomorrow, nobody would care.
He says he's gonna shoot us in the head. He's
Nicole,
the only
Nicole
one
gets nervous.
Violence.
Nicole, drink your water. Drink your water. Hold on. Nicole gets nervous. Drink your water.
Oh, inner city shit. God,
nobody
man.
Cares about that dude. He's talking all that shit because he thinks that tough guy talk is going to give him like some sort
John,
of credit.
John, what do you mean that's inner city shit? That ain't inner city.
I said that's what he claims. He claims that. He claims he's from the inner city.
He didn't,
yes,
but you said, John, that's that inner
drink
city
your water,
shit.
Nicole.
That's what you said.
No, I said he claims from that he's from the that inner city shit.
Okay.
He claims. I didn't say he's from.
Oh,
God damn.
Oh, okay.
God damn.
What the hell is going on, Jay?
I spend all this time with your cousin, AK, who's from the inner city, and it's like a total opposite. He couldn't be a nicer guy. Never talks like this.
Well, let me just say this to you, John. I've spent time with white folk from the from the suburb, and they're not all the same. So to assume, to generalize that all people from, quote-unquote, the inner city would be the same is not correct. So nobody, there are no people, no group of people. There are no group of people, John.
Is there anybody on this show that threatens to kill people more than Ali?
No, Ali threatens to kill people more than everybody.
Right. Yeah, all right. Well, you know, he's still talking
now,
about
John,
shooting people in the face, J. King. There's a limit, man.
John,
there's a limit.
John,
what...
how many people, John, there's nobody who's been on an ass-kicking tour more than Reese. So we have a lot of individuals that have their own individual thing that they do. Now, Ali is killing people. Now, one thing we know is Ali hasn't killed anybody. We know that for certain.
Thank God.
And if Ali had killed someone, he'd be in prison right now. Now, I know because I have people in my family who've killed people. And guess where they are?
Right. In prison.
In prison. And guess where they're not going to be anytime soon?
On the street killing people.
Amongst
on Kings in the morning.
Amongst the police. And they're not going to be
okay,
in amongst
Nicole.
The free.
Good. Now drink that
so,
damn water and quit coughing. You
know, what cracks me up is, you know, we know what's going to happen on this show because everybody pretty much does the same thing. So when you guys try to act like, oh, my God, can you believe that Ali? You're not going to believe it. The motherfucker do it every show.
Okay.
It's like you know what's
going
on. Hey, listen, then don't engage with him. You know,
this is some
I can't
funny
even
shit.
Debate with him because he doesn't allow you to debate with him.
Dude, he does. Listen, J. King, let's. There's a part about this that you're kind of ignoring. We're in the middle of a conversation ourselves talking about the Jam Book. He's injecting himself into our conversation, which, by the way, he always cracks on people when they
shit,
do that.
Nigga.
He cracks on people. He craps on
Reese,
that. He craps
know,
on it when I do it.
Reese.
But wait. Hey,
right,
wait,
but Reese, but,
he,
well, but,
how's he going to rag
Reese,
on stuff? How's he going to rag on
Reese,
stuff that he does himself?
I know, Reese, because that's what all you guys do. You do the same thing.
All
okay,
I understand
do,
that.
Do
so, again, so when we start debating
so
back with him, right, immediately it's the I'm going to shoot niggas in the face. Well, first of all, I'm not too worried about
I know.
Ali, all right?
I know, but,
right?
but
that motherfucker is no threat.
So it ain't nothing, what I'm saying to you, Reese, is whatever he says, it ain't nothing new. It ain't nothing new under the sun. It ain't like he said, oh, my God, now he's going to.
We're just asking for, listen,
show.
All I'm asking for is you can hate, dude, but have a little decorum. The shouting over people, I'm going to kill you, nigga, and all that stuff. Dude, unnecessary. Can
I mean,
we have a conversation? He's being disruptive for the sake of being disruptive.
I understand. I don't agree with, and that's why I come in when I hear it. But I'm not here all the time. Today I just happen to be getting dressed,
okay.
And I'm listening.
All
I'm saying is, you guys can't, you know, but don't make it into such a big deal. Like, oh, my God, this is. You know, we got to call the police
but,
on.
Well, I mean, if his objective is for us to not be here, J. King, just say that, dude, and we won't do the third hour, pal. Because if he's going to be here and he's just going to be disruptive like that, maybe we should just stop doing it because it doesn't seem like he cares to keep a degree of decorum here. He just wants to turn
nigga,
it into a fucking
we, we've had 50 after hours. I only did it three times. Nigga, shut up.
Oh, my God.
How about
oh,
not
wow.
doing it at all? Fuck you three times, dummy.
How about, nigga, fuck
Ali,
you, nigga.
Ali, but that's what I'm talking about, that thing right there.
Wow.
That's not fair. You can't just yell at people because you don't agree with them. You can have a discussion with them about it. You can say, Reed, I don't like what you do. You should have done that with Jam was here. But you can't just yell it. That's not right. You got
to
be fair, man.
And he just keeps shouting into people like no one gets a chance to respond. He just talks ad nauseum for 15 minutes shouting and screaming. And I'm like, dude.
Oh, go and start whining to your daddy. Go ahead and whine, you little kid.
No, dude, actually I'm whining to your daddy because he's the only person who could get your dumbass in check. I'm whining to your daddy. I've called your parents.
Are you whining, nigga? I thought you was a man. I thought you was a man.
No, I'm calling your parents, and I'm asking them to come down to the school to come and get you.
Nobody's whining. Nobody's whining to me. Ali, this is my network. I mean, at least have some respect for the network that, you know, even if we don't agree, that we have a discussion. Even if we don't agree,
I said, when he does this disrespects your network, even when you're not here, and you agree with me.
I thought you was a man, white man.
Being a man has nothing to do with asking somebody to have some decorum, dude.
Why you talk your shit to me then, Reese? John, why you blurt out shit across the fucking table to me then?
Do I shout over you in the middle of you talking? Shut up. You know what? Hey, guess what? In this case, nobody was talking to you, and you interjected.
Nigga, you disrespected motherfuckers all the time. Nigga, shut up.
Dude, I was talking about Jam to Beckman and everybody else.
You
interjected.
Jam. You was disrespecting Jam, nigga.
No, I was talking about his book, and if you think it's disrespect, that's your business. But I have a right to, and you have to deal with it.
And I have a right to fucking fuck you up.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you have a right to. You'll never get that opportunity. You have a right to try. You have a right to try. And you have a right to delude yourself that you can. You have a right to believe anything you want to. I don't think it's helpful for anybody to live in fantasy land.
Well, one thing about it, he's worked hard for this network, and we are supposed to be conducting ourselves better. Now, Nicole and I are class acts here. Drink that water, Nicole. She's shaking right now.
Here we go.
Okay. All right. Guys, Six Eyes. In the words of Ali, I'm going to need you to shut the fuck up.
Okay. All right, Reese. You got it, buddy.
Oh, Lord.
And Jay, has anybody heard me ever address Ali as Ali the black guy? Never have you ever heard me say that.
He's always got to say the white man.
I'm not a black guy. I'm not black, motherfucker.
All right, so the black woman. I apologize.
I ain't black nothing, nigga. I'm a motherfucking human being. I don't recognize and classify myself with that motherfucking racist bullshit.
Then why do you call me the white man, you motherfucker?
Because you identify yourself as one. You said you was white when Jay asked you what was your motherfucking race, you faggot.
Oh, wow.
I'm just going to say that Snitchy Smurf is definitely going to put some of this in the report. I tried to honor it yesterday, but today it's going in the report.
Drink that damn water before you do anything.
Noted.
Ali's the most racist person on this show, and I say that without any forgiveness.
Nigga, keep my name out your mouth, nigga. That's why you be getting threatened. Shut up.
You're the most racist person on this show.
Okay, keep talking. And when your ass gets fucked up, say that same shit when they ask you why Ali fucked you up.
Everybody agrees with me.
Hey, yo, try this on for size. Try this on for size, dude. You talk a lot of shit about how you fucking niggas up. Let me tell you
and
something.
And I can back it up, nigga. You can back it up, nigga. You can back it up, nigga. And when I see you, nigga, none of your business, nigga. Because we can't do shit on this motherfucking phone, nigga. But when I see you, nigga, let's get busy. Nigga, you threaten me, nigga. You threaten me talking about you was coming out to California, nigga, on your ass-kicking tour. Now you want to act like you conservative, motherfucker?
Dude, let's make things one thing clear, my man. Let me tell you one thing. I'm always
you ain't telling me shit, nigga. Bring your bitch ass down here. We are hell, you motherfucker.
I'm always ready. I'm always ready.
Nigga. That's what you need to do, nigga. Because you can't do shit over the phone to talk shit. But when I see you, we can find out.
Nigga,
just leave it there.
You're
when we see each other, we're going to see, nigga. We're going to see, nigga.
You ain't never, ever, ever taking no niggas out. You ain't never swung no punches that did no damage. And I know that.
Nigga, you don't know me, nigga. That's when you wrong, nigga. You don't know me, nigga. You don't know shit about me, nigga. You're going to find out. You're going to find out. It's okay.
The reason why you're screaming at the top of your lungs, dude.
You reason to find out. Leave it there. Leave it there, nigga. When you see you, nigga, then leave it there.
If you want to leave it there, then shut the fuck up and just leave it there.
You keep talking like a bitch, nigga. I'm going to keep cutting your fucking faggot ass
guys,
out.
Guys, hey.
You could curse me out. You could curse me out all day. You ain't never doing nothing.
That's what I'm saying, nigga. We going to talk while you going to keep talking shit. I'm going to keep talking shit to you.
You going to listen to me.
This
ain't going to be no what.
Remember, I see you, nigga. But when I see you, nigga, we going to speak. We going to speak.
You probably get cursed out right now.
I need you to understand something. Dude, when I see you, dude, there is not going to be no
shit. You got to understand, nigga. Shut up, nigga. You talking shit on your motherfucking phone, nigga. When you get down here, let me handle it, nigga. You ain't saying war, nigga. I will kill your motherfucking ass, you faggot.
I got you dirty, nigga.
Then shut up.
So, anyway, what I was saying, Beckman, let me tell you something about that chapter in the book. The bottom line about the chapter of the book, he took and listed every bit of information from an article from the Washington Post to Wikipedia, and he pasted it on that listening. So there's a broad opinion.
And you take all your shit too, nigga, from CNN and Fox News, nigga.
So that was the reason why I left that whole section of
the school. Maybe you can help him.
No Nicole, give me a call right now.
Your Wikipedia.
We'll be right back.
No disrespect. But even your Wikipedia had, you attended Fordham in it. So,
yeah, exactly.
Wikipedia is a lie.
Yeah, now, it's like, don't cite Wikipedia if, like, you don't know. Wikipedia is literally, it's not an encyclopedia. It's actually written by individuals. You and I could write a Wikipedia page about Nicole. We can literally make a Wikipedia page today.
Oh, I think you, Veritasaurus has already created one.
Nicole?
Oh, my God.
I can write a Wikipedia about how Ollie is the nicest guy I've ever met. Well, I haven't met him.
We got 2 minutes left.
Not the nicest guy I ever listened to.
No.
Sorry, I'm dedicated.
Now, let's everyone calm down here on the JKN third hour.
Let me make something clear. I have never, ever been that type of dude. Like, I have to constantly warn people. Because, see, that's, again, he's a friend of a friend. And Jay's my boy. At least I consider Jay my boy. And I know that's Jay's boy. So when I tell
Jay's
somebody, dude,
go for that shit.
Don't cross the line, dude.
Shut up, nigga.
So I can make sure that I'm not disrespecting anybody, because I know that people are going to be mad at me, and I'm not.
You
gonna
get your ass beat, nigga.
I don't want to insult anybody or hurt anybody's feelings because I went after somebody who's cool with them. So when I just say, "Hey, dude, I'm done. I don't have to talk about anybody anymore."
You talking a lot of shit, nigga. You can't back none of it up, nigga.
I'm not talking to this anymore.
You said you were done, but you keep coming back talking shit. Shut up.
It's beyond reproach, Sean Beckman. That's what I'm saying. So I tried, and I was nice, but I can't be nice.
That's why both of you motherfuckers is going to get your ass beat, nigga, when I see you, nigga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's your favorite word is the N-word, like it means something.
That's right, nigga. I'm going to say, nigga, when your ass is on the ground bleeding, nigga.
a disgrace. You should be ashamed of yourself. Your parents would be disappointed in you.
Nigga, don't talk about my parents. You keep running your mouth, nigga. That's why you're going to get killed. Nigga, shut up.
Yeah, your parents would be very disappointed in you, your siblings.
Nigga, fuck you, John Beckman, you white motherfucker. They're your friends. I ain't your friend, motherfucker. So stop addressing me.
There we go with the racist stuff again.
That's right. You ain't my friend, motherfucker.
There you go with the racist stuff.
If you can't take it, get your ass off, nigga. Why you keep fucking with motherfuckers? Why would you keep fucking with a motherfucker saying fucked up shit to a motherfucker and you don't want to hear a motherfucker disrespect your ass? Shut up.
Your parents would be very disappointed in your life.
I told you, motherfucker, and everybody gonna hear it. I asked you, nigga, to shut the fuck up about talking about me, nigga.
I don't care what everybody hears.
Okay, don't care then. So when I see you, John, when I see you, you punk white motherfucker, you're going to get your ass beat. You're going to get your ass beat, motherfucker.
Nicole.
Fuck you, nigga. You're going to get your ass beat.
I'm going to talk just like you talk.
You're going to get your ass beat, nigga.
You're
going to get your fucking ass whooped in, nigga.
Calm down.
It's not the same kind of fun.
Oh my God. So check it out. Now, he allowed
it
us
like Ali, is it?
To have the third hour.
Not fun. I told you yesterday. I gave you fair warning, you white motherfucker.
There you go with the racist stuff again.
That's right, nigga. You the fucking hater-ass white motherfucker.
Where's that water?
There he is again. There he goes again.
Shut your fucking mouth, nigga. You're going to keep getting fucked up like this. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, I'm trembling.
Talk to somebody else, motherfucker. Don't address me. I told you this before.
I don't care what you told me before. What you told me before goes in one ear and out the other. It's irrelevant.
That's why you're going to get your ass whooped, John. Because it's irrelevant.
You are not nothing. You are nothing but a
racist. In the morning.
And it's proven. Your words prove it.
The views expressed after the third hour is not those of the JKM, but respective cast members. JKM is not liable for anything that one might think. Now, come on, fellas. Now, it's getting not fun anymore.
It is not
now, this
funny.
Man pays the bills. He pays the bills. He keeps the light on. Let's conduct ourselves as the broadcasters that we are.
Man, you're a fucking idiot. Shut up.
Now you starting with me too, bro?
Back, Ali can dish
you start not. I've been saying nothing to you all day,
that's
bro.
That's the sign of a pussy.
Nigga, shut up, nigga. When you hear grown motherfuckers talking, shut your blind ass up.
What else you got besides blonde, Ali? What else you got besides blonde?
Skin as thick as paper.
You have nothing
else.
Nigga,
I'm asking you, blind ass, nigga. You gonna be the first blind motherfucker I whoop.
Ali, I promise you, if we get in a circle and your ass can't move, I will beat the fuck out of your bitch ass. I will beat you up.
Nigga, you can't do shit. Shut up, nigga. That's a dream you wish you had,
frail.
Nigga.
You are frail.
That's a dream,
you're
nigga.
Frail.
You're dreaming. You're dreaming, nigga. You can't see. You can't see, nigga. You're dreaming. You're dreaming. You're blind. You can't see shit, motherfucker. You
Let
can't get a hold of nothing. All you can get a hold of is this motherfucking skipping.
You broke
shut your ass up. Nigga, you can't do shit, nigga. Nigga, you can't even get no pussy from the cold, nigga.
Wait a minute. I thought you said, hold up. I've been waiting all day. I thought you said. I thought you said if I don't reach across the table to you, you're not gonna reach across the table to me.
Reach across the table, you nigga. You ain't got a
out of your word.
No. Reach your motherfucking big ass across the table.
You can't keep your word.
Dude, you need to get fucking slapped. You need to get
slapped. Yeah, I'd like to see you do it, you motherfucker. Bring your motherfucking ass over here and do it, nigga. Bring your bitch ass over here and do it, nigga.
Boy, you need to be punishing. You look like a 6-year-old. You look like a 6-year-old driving a golf cart.
But I honor
what he asked.
That's what a 6-year-old
gonna do. They gonna beat your ass, nigga.
Please do. Please.
Where I'm from, we don't talk about it. We be about it.
I welcome it. I guarantee you, if we are in a space and your bitch ass don't move, I guarantee
you. Nigga, you ain't, nigga. Bring your ass down to LA with everybody else, nigga, so you can get fucked up too, nigga.
Boy.
I'll pay for your ticket. I'll find to book your ass.
You better have Rodney O there with you since you suck his
nigga,
dick.
Nigga, I don't need no Rodney O, nigga. You don't know who the fuck I am, nigga. You better find out, nigga.
You ain't nobody.
You're our
nobody
brother. You're our brother. We love you, but you're having a bad day. Two in a row.
I don't have bad days, nigga. You visiting some kind of something. This ain't no positive day.
Nah, nigga, shut up. You done reached across the table. You done put me in the game, so now I'm in it. Come put it up in there then. Come get it. Come put it up in there then.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to put a motherfucking donut hole in your ass.
Nicole, imagine you wake up every morning.
I like to see
morning,
you try
Ali.
You are a punk.
You imagine waking up every
morning. I honored you, Ali. I honored you. So you can forget about it for the rest of the month. I'm not honoring nothing else you tell me about leaving your name out of the report. I did everything you asked.
Fuck, bitch. Fuck you. I don't give a fuck about you, honor.
You're not my type.
Who gives a fuck? I don't like sad bitches.
Nicole,
he's
gay.
He's not.
Animals.
He's ornery, though.
He's
gay. But
he's gay.
I honored him. He crossed the line.
He fucked ducks.
No, don't say that.
Ali, you done fucked up.
Dude, you mentally unstable, dude. I'm not even lying to you. You're fucking mentally unstable. You are fucked up, dude.
Nah, nigga, I ain't mentally unstable. When motherfuckers talk shit, they step up, they get their ass.
I did not, Ali. I did not. And you still done it.
Shut up, motherfucker.
I did not.
Shut your ass up, snitch.
You brought me in it. Remember?
Oh, you
I honored you, and you crossed the line.
I don't give a fuck. Shut up, bitch. I don't care. Fuck you.
If you don't care, then why are you talking?
Because you keep talking shit. Shut up.
I was not.
Well, then close your fucking mouth now.
Nicole,
and,
keep your mouth open.
Everybody knows about the Six Eyes Radio Network, dude. I don't even need to announce my shows at all. So that'll eliminate that. They know what I do.
That part, Brother Ali does keep his word. He will announce.
But the interaction, it's not the same. It's not the same. Yeah, the world knows I'm blind. The world knows it. I don't give a fuck. I still keep moving. I don't let no grass grow under my feet. So that shit don't matter. It doesn't matter.
Hey, Six Eyes, let me tell you something. Six Eyes.
Yeah.
Let me tell you the nature of comedy and the nature of ragging and doing the dozens on people.
Mm-hmm.
A good dude with a good joke can come up with one a million times, like every day. He can say something new, but he doesn't have to live and breathe off the same joke for like years. Like if you're saying the same joke for 5, 6, 7 years, that means you got nothing else in the tank. You're not inventive, and that is the pure definition of a one-trick pony. If it's 5 or 6 years, dude, and the dudes are still calling you blind and that's the joke they think is funny, that means they have nothing else. That means they haven't even bothered to think. So I always say pay no attention to that kind of nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
Ignore it.
Look at that.
Because it means they've got nothing else.
Beautiful. And I like that we have a little hill over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I do jump
well,
on
let me get rid of this
day.
For
you.
Well, I can't
lose
a piece of...
You hear me say something new
there.
And something funny
yeah,
and invented by everybody on this show on a regular basis.
And so the
I
water
never
the water will go
repeat
in.
Repeat
yeah.
the same joke more than twice.
Good.
I think he's having a bad day. Or
listen.
2 days or whatever. I don't know.
Listen. I'm going to need you to stop giving this motherfucker a pacifier.
Okay, then.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It can't be perfect, but yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. I love it. I'm sorry, I'm talking to my landscaper.
No worries.
He's putting in the artificial grass, sorry.
Oh, that's right. Well, I love you all. I'm going to go on self-mute. Looking forward to seeing, being back for more tomorrow.
See you at home.
All
later
right,
on.
Nicole.
Okay, I'm just
love
gonna
it when
self-mute.
Everybody talks.
Yes.
See you later
we'll try
at home.
Again tomorrow. Okay.
Back to work. Back
yes.
to work.
Bye-bye.
Okay, WTIC, 5 o'clock. Talk to you guys later.
Yep.
We'll see.
Go on. Love you all. Jay, talk to you tomorrow, buddy.
Sorry, motherfuckers can't take what they dish out. Talking all that shit. You think I'm going to be quiet? Fuck you, motherfuckers. Shit-faced faggots.